Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, the non-televised part of the WGN radio lineup.
Really, doesn't that make you feel kind of left out?
No.
We'll do the show before yours and after yours, but not yours.
No, I'm fine with it. I don't want to be on the TV.
I was just telling you off the air, I signed up for radio, not TV.
Yes. It's better.
I didn't curl my hair today, and it looks funny.
Yeah, so do you want that on TV?
No.
No, this is better. May I share something strange with you that I don't understand? There's a lot of strange things I don't understand, but this one in particular. Yesterday was Cyber Monday. This was the day that we are supposed to, by law, buy things online, and they urge you to do it during work. They don't want you to do it at home. You're supposed to do it while you're working.
Who urges you?
The government. The government says, go to work, but don't work. Buy things online. So you're supposed to do that. And I forgot to do that. But when I got home, and I've mentioned this before, the way your internet works now is if you click on things, the internet has a way of remembering that, and they send you similar things. It's like on Amazon. If you buy a raft, they figure, well, you're somebody who enjoys the outdoors, so you might want a lantern, or you might want some travel gear to go with your raft. And I understand that. All right, so all day yesterday, and I can't figure this out at all, I was inundated with ads for a place called Zulily that I've heard of.
Oh, yeah, everybody around here buys clothes there. I haven't, but Stephanie Menendez.
It's popular.
Yes.
All right. I've never been there. I've heard of it. And that's
I think it's women's clothes only.
Is it?
I think so.
All right. So all day yesterday, I guess this started in the morning. I didn't click on until I got home. I'm getting things from Zulily telling me that mermaid throws are on sale.
Oh, have you seen those?
I didn't until yesterday, but I saw it 120 times yesterday.
That's how I saw it. They sent me something, too. It's pretty cool. Instead of an Afghan, you actually put your legs in a mermaid fin.
You look like you're a mermaid.
Stupid. What if you get up to get a drink or something? You're going to trip.
You can't. You have to swim to wherever you're going. Like in The Little Mermaid.
You get a mermaid throw.
You have to be a friend with a crab and a small flounder, just like in Little Mermaid.
Have you met my husband?
And you have to sing something delightful whilst traveling. All right. I've never been to Zulily. I didn't know the mermaid throws exist.
Right.
And yet all day yesterday, no matter what website I was on, I got a reminder that there's only 9 hours left in the mermaid throw sale. And then it showed me different. There's a green one. There's a yellow one. There's a purple one. If I was getting one, the purple one would be the one for me.
Do you have to wear a top when you're using it?
I don't know if you have to. But I would wear, a corresponding top to whatever base I got, whatever fin I got, tail I got. And I wouldn't get much if I bought one of these mermaid throws.
You could be a merman, Bill.
I guess I could.
He's a merman.
So I asked I said to my daughter, Kylie's back in New York, so it's not her. And Reese hardly ever uses the computer. She's got her own thing that she uses. And Terry's never been to Zulily. So why are they targeting me to get these?
I just think it's an advertising blitz for Cyber Monday, but I'll bet you somebody used your computer to at least browse at Zulily.
I guess, but they would have admitted it to me. It's not a secret.
No, it's embarrassing.
Is it embarrassing?
I don't know. I've been getting a lot of Zulily stuff, too, and I never looked at it. I never did.
Yeah.
So I just think they're really trying to drum up business.
I guess so.
Good for them.
Annoying
for us.
But like after seeing a couple dozen of these throughout the day, because everywhere I went, there's a little box that opens up. You only have this many more hours. And look, we'll also throw in free shipping if you order more than one. And I'm going, well, if I was going to get one, it's not a bad deal. Get a second one. Save on shipping. But then I thought, I don't think a guy shouldn't even be looking at these, much less considering buying one. That's not for me.
All right. Well, Zulily, according to a texter, has a lot more than women's clothes. They have shoes, men's housewares, decorations.
Do they?
And someone else said Zulily is a daily deal site, so they have different brands or categories on sale daily. So that's why they're putting the blitz out there.
Oh, okay.
With an email.
That's me. I have an email.
Congratulations.
Anyone with an email who knows how to use it.
All right, I'm out. I'm out then.
But to your point of, you know, when you order something, I ordered a computer for a combo birthday and Christmas present for my youngest son. And now I keep getting stuff on that same computer.
Mm-hmm.
I already bought it.
Right.
So if there's a better deal, don't tell me about it.
Right.
So that I don't get. It, you know, when you mentioned that you looked for a raft one day and you're getting all the accoutrements to go camping, that makes sense. But if you get more stuff for a raft, you already bought the raft.
That's the... All right. Last year, we were shopping for hotel packages and flights to Costa Rica. So I spent a couple of days doing that. I still get stuff every once in a while, still considering that Costa Rican trip. It's been over a year.
They think you're going every year. It's your annual Costa Rican trip.
Yeah, I guess.
That is really ridiculous.
Now, if I do go back to Costa Rica, I would get one of those Little Mermaid throws because I would look adorable in it.
You really would. You really would.
I didn't even know they made such a thing, and I'm looking at it going, who would get that? And then, like, after, like, you, this is how they break you down. After a while, it's like, I bet it's really warm. I'm looking at it going, I bet on a cold winter night, that would really keep you warm. Like, I wouldn't wear, there's no way in the world I would buy or wear one of those. But after a while, you're like, ah, I guess, you know, if it was really cold and no one was around. And King Triton was having a ball. Maybe I would wear, I don't know.
Wouldn't your upper body get cold?
I would hope.
Do you have to wear a shawl with the mermaid fins?
That's where the Snuggie comes in. You get the Snuggie for the top and then the mermaid for the bottom. And you have a full blanket.
Do you
blanket
have a Snuggie?
Suit. I do. Well, I don't know if I have it anymore. I did. I loved it.
The kids wanted one. You can get. That's a great deal when you can get a $9.99 gift at Walgreens for your kids and they like it.
But Kevin, I'll marry you, but the Snuggie's got to go.
That's got to go. That's got to stop. You say kids, but like every picture they showed, it was an adult
right.
wearing. Like you go, this would be perfect for an 8-year-old girl. I could see an 8-year-old girl going.
It would be cute.
I want to wear that Little Mermaid thing.
But, at slumber parties, wouldn't that be cute?
Yeah, but everybody they showed it was all women.
Did they show a man in it?
I should
you
send a
be
picture
the
in.
First.
Right.
Oh, cute.
Look, these aren't just for ladies. Look at how comfortable this is.
You would look very adorable.
I know. Well, thank you for saying that. All right. We need to take a quick break. We have a full show for you. Stay here. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right. I had some things I wanted to talk to you about, and I can't find it in my stupid email because I just got a Zulily.
Oh, you did?
Zulily event, my daily update, Trolls on Parade.
Oh, that sounds good.
When's the last time you bought a troll?
I think I was 4. So it's time to get a new one. Those are those little figures that look like the Olsen twins.
They totally do.
They look like Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. Yet there was a troll movie, and neither Mary-Kate nor Ashley Olsen got cast. So where's the justice?
I don't see it anywhere. All right, I have some things. I have a bunch of things that I emailed myself, and I'm trying to find them now. Do you want to know some amazing facts for people who like amazing facts?
Yeah.
I love amazing facts.
These are amazing?
These are pretty amazing.
Please.
From Mental Floss.
All right.
Between 1912 and 1948, Bill, art competitions were part of the Olympics. I could have medaled
in
art.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Medals were awarded for architecture, music, painting, and sculpture.
Didn't know that.
I certainly didn't
know amazing.
That.
See, I was thinking like Art Fleming or Art Garfunkel.
No, that would have been cool.
Right.
You should move to Wyoming.
Is that a fun fact?
No, but don't you want to know why?
I do want to know why.
The entire state of Wyoming only has 2 escalators.
In the whole state?
That's what they're saying.
That's absurd.
We should call a random number and find out.
I wonder if they're in the same building.
Because Bill doesn't like
there'd
people.
There'd have to be one going up and one going down. Yeah. You can't separate them.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It could be a little quirky that way.
You can't put one in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and the other in that
Casper.
Other city in Wyoming.
Casper.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah. The down escalator is 32,000 miles away.
Good luck.
All right. This is fascinating to me.
What is it?
The very first webcam. Do you know what it watched?
Oh, what would that have watched?
It's a Tech Tuesday, by the way, so we'll be talking to Bridget Carey.
I don't know.
It's genius, yet silly.
Yeah.
The very first webcam watched a coffee pot. It allowed researchers at Cambridge to monitor the coffee situation without leaving their desks.
All right, I can see that.
That's really genius.
Yeah, I guess so.
You set it up.
And what's funny about that is webcams now are everywhere and coffee pots are nowhere.
Right. That's how things evolve. Yeah.
When Disneyland opened in 1955, Tomorrowland was designed to look like a year in the distant future, 1986.
How about that? Well, that's they had to re-up the Disney World Disneyland because it was supposed to look like just past the year 2000. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't the future anymore. It was the past.
It's so. Like when you had to read the book 1984 by George Orwell when you were in high school, yeah. and you're like, oh my God, we're just a couple years away. And now look at how long ago that right. was. God, we're getting old.
Although that message, Big Brother is watching, that turned out to be incredibly accurate.
And I watched Big Brother, so oh, yeah. isn't
so
that weird?
Came full circle.
I
want to go to Wyoming now, by the way.
I know.
I've never wanted to go, but now I'm like, wow, two escalators in the whole state? I'm going.
Yeah, because then you wouldn't have to whine about people not walking right. up them or
right.
down them.
And they've got mountains there, so you would think if anywhere should have it, it would be Wyoming.
They're tough there. Both escalators are going down,
they're
too,
rugged.
By the way.
Oh,
right?
they are?
Yeah.
Isn't it Wyoming that has the really killer billboards that are out there? I can't remember the tagline, but it looks so beautiful. I know it's not very effective, but I think it is.
Maybe.
I think it is. This we know to be true. Before George W. Bush took office, some Clinton staffers canvassed the White House offices and removed the W key from over 60 keyboards.
That is true. No, I know that for a fact. I know one of the women who did it, actually.
You really do?
When I worked at LS, we had her on as a guest, and I asked her if that was true, and she laughed and said I was one of the people who did it. So.
Wow. What else do I have? On an April day in 1930,
mm-hmm.
now pay attention to this, Steve, the BBC reported there is no news today.
Oh.
And they just played piano music
oh,
all day.
Oh, they did.
So, Steve, if there's no news, just do you know how to play the piano?
No, but I can sing.
Ooh.
You prefer Barbara Streisand or Miley Cyrus? Those are my two favorites.
I always wondered, you know, because like if you're looking at your local newscasts, they have a half an hour to fill, right? So there are days where there's more than enough stuff going
oh,
on,
yeah.
but there are some slow days.
That's
and
when
you
don't
what
get,
do you do?
You don't get the kicker stories on a busy day.
Oh, I guess
you don't,
so.
You don't get the pet stories.
Yeah, yeah, here's a marsupial eating peanut butter in its pouch.
Right.
You'll never get that oh. on a busy news
I
day.
I guess so. All right.
Johnny Cash's A Boy Named Sue was penned by beloved children's author Shel Silverstein.
I knew that.
You did?
I did know that.
Ben and Jerry learned how to make ice cream by taking a $5 correspondence course offered by Penn State. They decided to split one course.
Wow.
Boy, did they get right. their payback. What
yeah.
is that, ROI?
They did
return
more than
on investment.
Right. Yeah. Those guys love, I love ice cream, but those guys are nuts for ice cream. Remember we had them on at another station and it was first thing in the and they every scoop of ice cream they tasted, it was like they had never had ice cream before. You just saw their eyes light up.
I know.
You guys have had ice cream before, right? Yeah, but this is so good.
It's great to love what you do, but
yeah.
that's going overboard.
Yeah.
And Bill, oh man.
Is this one too amazing?
I have two I want to tell you because they're toy related.
All right.
In the 1970s, Mattel sold a doll called Growing Up Skipper.
I know this one. You'd bend its arms back, and her breasts would grow.
You're right.
It's true.
Did you have it?
No, I didn't have it.
It was just one arm.
But yeah, I can't remember which side it was. But as
I
a kid, I
can't believe you don't remember.
And I'd say to myself, I hope that is true in real life.
So you walked up to every girl and
bend
their
to
arm
bend her
back.
Arm back. A lot of detentions, learning that I was wrong.
I didn't have the growing up skipper. I just had the regular skipper. I wasn't
How ridiculous,
much of,
though.
I know.
That was the thing. The arm would bend back. Her breasts would grow. Do you think they could sell that today? I don't think that would play today.
I bet it would because they grow
so?
Bigger today.
Oh, maybe.
And your butt would get bigger.
No, now you'd like move the arm back and a surgeon would come in.
And do implants.
Right.
All right. Bill's the only one who's going to know the answer to this.
Ian Fleming.
Oh, my God.
Steve, how does he do it?
The word Pez
yeah.
comes from the German word...
Peppermint.
I
right?
knew you'd know that.
It is, right?
I know you're right. Do you know
it's
what
like,
it is?
Yeah, it's like Peffenfuffel or something like that.
It's close.
Is it? What is it?
It starts with a P.
Pfefferment or something?
Pfeffermins.
Mins, M-I-N-Z.
With a Z. So they took the P at the beginning.
That's the best time to take one. Get it out of the way.
Otherwise, it's just nags.
Right. Then you're dancing around all day.
How long till we're there?
You can go home now. You've done your job for the day. Good one.
Thanks.
That was a Pippin to Jordan right there. All right, we got to take a break. I have more of these throughout
the day.
They're
amazing.
I do have some more amazing ones. You'll
right.
love them. Stay tuned.
We'll be playing music.
Shut up, Bertrand. Thank you, Steve. Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, and Bill, we have the smartest and funniest listeners in the whole wide world.
I like to think we do.
Somebody completely solved your issue.
As I mentioned, yesterday was Cyber Monday. You are asked to buy things online, preferably at work. While you're working,
no one
you're supposed
said
to be
that.
Shopping online and you buy stuff for people. And I kept getting inundated with ads for a place called Zulily, which is or is not a freestanding store. I still don't know. Can you buy it online or do they have stores somewhere? I've never been there, but what they were trying to sell me was what they called a mermaid throw. This is a thing that you put on the bottom half of your body. It's like an Afghan or a blanket, and it makes you look like Ariel from Little Mermaid.
I mean, the bottom of it, it's like getting into a sleeping bag. The bottom of it has actual fins on it.
Right.
It's
cute. The fun thing to do would be to know who had one on and then call them, because then they'd have to run up and try to get their phone really quick, and they wouldn't be able to maneuver because they have a fin instead of where their legs are.
You are an old grandpa.
I guess
who
I
gets
am.
Up to get the phone anymore? The phone's always on them.
I would find out only their home phone numbers, and of
who
those,
has a
I
phone home phone?
I guess just me and you are the only two left.
I know. And why do I keep it? I've got PermaSeal coming out today to do our yearly service, and I guess they had left a message on the home machine.
Yeah.
Well, here's the stupid thing. No one checks it. Why do I even still have it? I can't cut the umbilical cord of the landline.
About a week ago, I was in the room where our phone, our home module is. How old did that sound? Buzz Aldrin was the last person to use the word module before I did, and that was 20 years ago. All right, so I'm in that room because I was setting up the snow village, and I looked at our answering machine, and as I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, I forgot we even had an answering machine. And the number 8 was on there. We had 8 messages.
That you hadn't listened to.
I have no idea how old those messages are.
I know.
One, I think some of them were reminding me to vote. Hey, don't forget, get out next week and vote. So I don't know when the last time anyone checked our messages was.
It's probably so old that it's like, this is Arnold. This is Blockbuster calling. You have a late return.
Right. It was all stuff from years ago.
That was the worst Arnold I know.
No, I loved it. I thought that was great.
But anyway, somebody completely solved the mystery of why you got Zulily stuff.
How come?
Tell Bill that he got hooked by Zulily when he was searching the Anthropology playlist.
That makes sense.
It's all
that makes total
connected.
Sense. But are they the same parent
company?
Doesn't
even matter anymore.
Oh, really?
You looked at you opened up an Anthropology website, which is clothing.
Yeah.
So you're probably they have.
So they say there's a 17-year-old girl that we can target to sell things to. Well, the joke's on them because I'm a lot older than 17.
Really?
Boy. I bet that's it, though, right? They go, all right, here's a like-minded shopper. If he's looking for stuff at Anthropology, he'll love this.
And what 53-year-old guy wouldn't?
That would be me. That explains it all.
That's what they should do, like, to catch a predator. They should say, there's a special here at right. Zulily or Anthropology. Right. Answer now, right. And you can buy something.
Yeah.
And it's not really them.
I like the old days where I would get something from Bed Bath & Beyond every month, and that was it. I'd get something like once a month online. I'd get, hey, we're having a sale on something at Bed Bath & Beyond. And I go, all right, well, I'm not in the market, but thanks for letting me know. Now, yesterday, I swear to you, every website I went to, a box would just open up with a girl on a bed looking like a mermaid.
And you sure it was to purchase that? It wasn't some other website?
Who knows?
Lovely mermaids, XXX.
Mermaidmilfs.com.
Yeah, I don't know that happened, but
Milfmaids.
That's totally what happened.
I guess
that's my band name if I ever had have a band. It's Milf Money.
Oh, that's great.
And I just have never gotten a band together,
oh,
and I know
man.
Somebody's going to use it
that's
now.
That's the
but
one thing holding you back.
Milf Money.
Ah, that's no fair. Hey, quickly, I know this is serious, and we shouldn't. I guess we shouldn't joke about this. But in San Francisco, I don't know if you're aware of this, there's a huge building, a 58-story tower, that is both tilting and sinking. Did you know this? And it's not an old building either. It was put up in 2009, but it's sinking into the ground and it's tilting at the same time. And people paid a lot of money to live in this building. Engineers in San Francisco have tunneled underground to try to understand the sinking of the 58-story Millennium Tower. Now they're using analysis from space. The European Space Agency has released detailed data, or do you say data, from satellite imagery that shows the skyscraper in San Francisco's financial district continuing to sink at a steady rate and perhaps happening faster than they first thought. The luxury high-rise that opened its doors, like I said, in 2009, has been dubbed the Leaning Tower of San Francisco.
That's original.
Right. Who knows how they came up with that? Not me. It has sunk 16 inches into landfill, and it is now tilting several inches to the northwest. A dispute over the building's construction in the seismology active city has spurred numerous lawsuits involving the developer, the city, and the owners of the multi-million dollar apartments. So imagine that. You pay millions of dollars to live in an apartment that at the time is kind of flat, and now it's sinking and it's tilting. The satellite data shows that the Millennium Tower has sunk 40 to 45 millimeters, that's 1 to 6 to 1.8 inches, over a recent one-year period. So in just 1 year, it's dropped almost 2 inches. And it's almost double that amount, 70 to 75 millimeters, in the 17-month observation period. This according to Peter Markovich, founder and chief scientist at PPO Labs, which analyzed the satellite's radar. What can now be concluded from this data is that the Millennium Tower is sinking. I could have told them that and saved them a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know how? By looking at the base of the building and going, this used to be here and now it's way down there. Pay me in Pez. The data detected a small slowdown this summer, but one that needs further analysis, he said, and it doesn't change the overall data. He then concluded there is quite a steady subsidence, which means sinking and tilting, I hope. That's what I would have told him, too. You know what this is? This is clearly a case of subsidence. What does that mean? I'm not a dictionary. I'm a guy who comes out and tells you your building is sinking and tilting.
But this happens a lot. This has been in the news in various places because buildings settle. And plus, you said they built it on a landfill.
Right. That maybe that's the problem. I know even here in Chicago, and we don't have the same kind of seismic activity that they have in San Francisco, they build give. They've been doing this since like the 40s or 50s. They build give into the building knowing
it'll
that it's going to sway and settle a couple inches this way or that way. Remember when we worked in the Hancock?
You could feel it moving.
There were nights, like windy nights, where you could feel it moving.
I mean, we were up on the 37th floor. I mean, you really...
Right.
It wasn't like, you know, whoa, like the pendulum ride, but you
right.
definitely could.
And hear it, too. There was a little bit of
creaking.
A creaky noise. Yeah.
I'm glad we're on the first floor right now.
Yeah, this is much, seems safer somehow. So how frightening.
That would be.
I mean, first of all, you'd feel ripped off if you spent that kind of money and your building is sinking and tilting. But also, it's just scary because they don't know exactly how this is going to end up. If it continues at this rate, at some point, I'm guessing, you got a toppled building, don't you?
Millennial Tower? Was it built by millennials?
Yes. Maybe that's the problem.
Sorry, Kev.
I came in twice a week.
We get a bad rap. It's not fair.
I can't make fun of millennials anymore because my cousin Susie said something to myself and my husband. Oh, you crazy millennials. I said, I don't know how old you think I am.
Right.
Thanks for the compliment.
But it's not you.
So does that mean we're slackers?
Yeah.
I didn't like it, and I'm not even one, so I will never make fun of millennials ever again after that.
I'm going to hold you to that.
All right.
But the beauty of that is that most millennials are too lazy to fight back. You can call them that, and they're just like,
Bill is
all
not
right,
going to stop.
Whatever.
I will.
Whatever.
Whatever, Bill.
That's what I mean.
You dingus.
Got to go grow my beard.
All right.
Hipster beard.
A break, and then we're going to talk. It's Tech Tuesday, so we'll find out what that entails. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, Bridget Carey is here from CNET. Bridget, I told this story earlier, but I just want to run it past you. Yesterday was Cyber Monday, the day that we're encouraged to, instead of work, we're supposed to buy stuff online during our workday. So
right.
I kept getting inundated with things from a place called Zulily that is, I guess, a woman's clothing store. They sell other things.
Yeah, other things, too, right? I found out.
They wanted me to buy this thing that I could put on the bottom half of my body to make me look like a mermaid. And I don't really want to do that, but they told me I had to, so I have one now. Why? I'd never been to Zulily before. Every website I visited yesterday sent me this thing saying, hey, you only have 9 hours left. Get your mermaid throw before they're all sold out. How did that happen? What's behind that?
What were you being alerted on? Was it a computer you share with somebody, maybe?
The rest of my family uses it, but I asked them, and nobody had ever been to that website.
That's weird.
Isn't it?
I mean, I find that there's always weird stories now and again about how these marketers are tracking us and how they're going after us. I mean, I got to say, some stream must have been crossed in your world where, like, someone who was maybe on the computer and a targeted for that kind of, customer, or maybe something you bought in a different way.
Well, to be fair,
makes you
Bridget,
look like a prime mermaid customer.
I do wear a lot of mermaid-looking clothing.
Merman
clothing. So, and I did buy an Ethel Merman CD a few weeks ago.
Ethel Merman?
Maybe that's it.
And Merperson.
I guess.
You know, QVC bought Zulily. Have you ever browsed QVC for anything?
Mm-mm.
I haven't either.
Mm-mm.
I used to order things late at night.
You know what a lot of people got and who have iPhones?
What?
Calendar spam for Cyber Monday and Black Friday.
What's that mean?
All of a sudden on your phone's calendar, it starts showing up, buy Ray-Ban sunglasses, sale now. It was just so widespread because, long story short, Apple has this default that if anyone gets a hold of your email and sends you an email invite to an event,
yeah,
it automatically shows up on your calendar on iCloud.
Yeah.
And what they were spamming were these accounts like, you know, when you get an iPhone, it'll give you a default @me.com email address that no one uses. They were spamming a bunch of those accounts, I guess guessing names or, you know, just from however they got these account names, I don't know. But a lot of us in the office all of a sudden had all these, like, alerts for Ray-Bans and stuff. So what you can do in settings, if you got one of these, is to turn off in your settings for iCloud to not automatically allow someone to junk up your calendar without you first giving permission to
it. Good idea. Very good.
I got to just tell you, the vast majority of Zulily's customers are women between the ages of 26 and 45 who are shopping for themselves and their families. So kudos to you, Bill.
I'm right in there. we don't have any figures yet. They were predicting that Black Friday this year would be the most prolific ever. Do we know yet about Cyber Monday? Are those figures released yet?
No, I mean, it's a little early to get the big picture, but I think what you're seeing is that there's no differentiation now between Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Any shopping holiday is a cyber shopping holiday at this point. And I think everyone for Thanksgiving and Black Friday were just on their phones to begin with. It was bigger than ever. So, it's almost like they're competing with themselves, right? Because, a lot of the sales also in stores were, in some cases, the same as online. So, you know, people don't want to fight the crowds, and so they're shopping all weekend on their phones. Why, if anything, by Monday, you might have some burnout.
And I've noticed that the prices were way better on Black Friday than they were on Cyber Monday. There weren't really that many deals. I mean, there were deals on things you didn't want, like the Merman blanket or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It used to be that the online deals were the best on Monday, right? And that's not the case anymore.
No, and it's Cyber Week, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Cyber Month.
Cyber Year.
I'm seeing marketing year. Yeah, no, I'm seeing marketing that says all week long on Amazon, da, 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 and then all month long in Target there'll be discounts. And I mean, if you didn't shop this weekend, I wouldn't stress because there's going to be some more sales, obviously, you know, cropping up now until, you know, the holidays.
All right, let's talk AT&T for a second. I've had AT&T U-verse for a while, and I often wonder, they send you things even though you have AT&T, and they say switch to DirecTV and you can save more money. It just drives me crazy that they have two different things, but now DirecTV has this new thing going on?
This is a whole new type of product. If you don't want that traditional cable, what you're talking about with U-verse, that is traditional, like, cable as we're used to. DirecTV, which is owned by AT&T, now has a new service called DirecTV Now, where if you just have an internet connection, you think of your internet almost as an app, your TV, I should say, as an app. For $35, they have this promotional thing going on where you'll stream over 100 channels into your home, and what you need, though, is one of those things like an Apple TV or an Amazon TV. Roku support's coming soon, they say. So you need a box like that, and just like how Netflix works, but for your TV. And they bundle all these packages in different price points, they're trying to hook people in the beginning by saying, you know, normally it costs $60 to get over 100 channels. We're going to cut that to $35 for people who join now. We're going to keep that price going as long as you're a subscriber. But there are pluses and minuses to this. Obviously, people might be looking for something that is different. They want live TV. They want to see their shows. This is live that you can tune into, but there's channels missing. There's no CBS. So, you know, do you want to go through this to save money, but you're going to miss out on a few things? There's a couple other pros and cons, too, I can get into. But basically, it's launching tomorrow, and it's really for that generation that and the customer that wants to just bundle things and get it on their phone, get it on their tablet, get it on their TV without having to have a whole different cable subscription like it usually comes.
Bridget, if you did this, and it sounds like a good deal, but like you said, it's missing some major networks like CBS. Is there a way to pick that up on the side? Is there a
like
way to do
that? Like a basic package?
Yeah.
Well, then you end up with the situation that I think is the big problem now. There's Hulu, there's Netflix, CBS has their own streaming service that costs a certain amount a month. You have like a ton of different bills for every app every month, and if DirecTV can eventually make a deal with CBS, it might be enticing for more people. But right now, we're kind of suffering from this fatigue of how many apps do I need? I need an HBO app. I need this app. I need that app. They are hoping to lure in AT&T customers by going, hey, you know, if you stream on your phone when you have this service, we're not going to count the data against you. Like, oh, okay. that's interesting. But also, you know, it has its downsides too. But for customers, it sounds good. And it's really showing that there's this growing competition right now. Hulu, they're going to launch a live TV element next year, almost like to be different from Netflix. Google's YouTube and Apple and Amazon, they're all working on like live TV streaming. So I'm sure over the next year we're going to see more of these types of things pop up. And the thing to differentiate it is, how does it benefit me? Am I going to get the channels I want? Can I record? Right now on the DirecTV new service, you can't record yet, but they're working on it.
That's
maybe
kind of a problem.
Right. So yeah, things are cheap. When you say $35 for 100 channels, sounds great. But just be aware that things, you know, you also need a great internet connection at home already you got to pay for, and which I'm sure AT&T will be happy to sell to you. And you have to realize you're not going to get everything you might be used to.
That's why all the big screen TVs are going for low prices now, because all these kids today are just streaming and watching stuff on their phones and tablets, and probably phones more than tablets.
And if speaking of the big screen TVs, what do you see on sale for the weekend? 4K, right? Everyone's talking about 4K. You're not going to get 4K on these services yet, you know. So it's very early in the days. But yeah, people who are young, just graduating college, want to save money. I don't need all the TV shows. I'd rather just watch on demand. People right now, you know, only have a few shows they care about. Yeah, this kind of thing sounds interesting.
Her name is Bridget Carey. You can find her at CNET.com, and you can watch the CNET update, and she'll keep you on top of all these situations. Thank you so much, Bridget.
Thanks, thank you.
Don't forget to RSVP my mermaid's party. Don't forget. Bye, Bridget. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, we need to take a break and then some news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Hi, everybody. It's Bill.
I think there's a dog in the studio.
Well, come on.
That is not a compliment.
That's not nice.
Thank you very much.
It's Bill and Wendy.
I'm talking about Bill.
That other voice you hear is noted pet expert Steve Dale, winner of many pet awards, writer of many books about pets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a friend to animals. He's like the St. Francis of our generation.
Okay. St. Francis of Assisi of
yeah,
our generation.
That's right. How are you, Steve?
I'm unsure at this moment. I was okay when I walked into the studio.
But
now I don't know.
Now you're not so
know.
Sure.
I don't know.
You're back in the U.S. You were abroad for a while.
Yes, I certainly was.
How'd the surgery go? God, we're 12 years old.
And you beat me to saying exactly what I would have said. She was wonderful.
Oh, that's nice to hear. Good.
It was a great trip. We went to Puerto Vallarta,
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
See, it was an animal sanctuary that I'm on the advisory board of, and I go there every year about this time of year.
Animals indigenous to that region, or what kind
of animals? Dogs and cats. Yeah. Primarily dogs, actually. And this place is incredible. They rescue dogs that, first of all, others wouldn't. In America, we call such a facility also no kill, because they are. But it's much more than that. The dogs, in part because of the environment where they happen to be,
yeah.
but they have space to play and to run. There's even a whirlpool, you know.
Oh, a nice. Dog and yeah, cat whirlpool?
Yeah, well, dogs. And the thing about the whirlpool, it's used for rehab.
Oh, it is?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because they'll take in these dogs that have profound injuries. I met a dog that had a birth defect and could not walk. No one would take the dog. I mean, this dog didn't have an owner. This place rehabbed the dog. This little white dog is walking across the room.
They got it walking?
Yeah, the dog looked like, okay, maybe he had uno mas cerveza, you know, one too many beers.
Yeah.
Still walking.
But walking and doing better every day. This dog, still young, you know, I don't remember, 9, 10, 11 months old, is going to be fine, has been adopted to Canada. They adopt many of their dogs, actually the overwhelming majority, to Americans and Canadians, because there are other facilities in this particular area in Puerto Vallarta that also adopt to Mexicans that live there.
Sure.
This place feels, okay, they've got that covered. We're going to make sure they have good homes in America and Canada. And boy, they do such an amazing job. I am going to post a video. I just haven't had the chance yet, of a Doberman, a purebred Doberman. What are the odds of seeing this expensive dog? I just was walking through the facility doing what I do there, and a Doberman walks by, but barely recognizable in some ways, because this dog had been starved to death.
Mm.
I don't know the deal.
Well,
I don't
not to
know.
Death, because it was still
well,
there.
Well, you're right. You're right. I don't know
but
the certain...
starved excessively.
Yeah, yeah, this dog was starving. And
all right.
To death.
Another 2 days, it could have been to death.
Oh.
And they saved the dog. This dog is going to be okay. The
Good.
Dog also had Ehrlichia, which is a tick disease that's very common there because they weren't using a preventative. I mean, they're not feeding the dog. They're not giving the dog tick preventives. But they can treat that, and they are treating it. And I'm sure you can go to their Facebook page, SPCA Puerto Vallarta. I'll post this video. And the conversation, and if she were hearing this now, she'd be very upset about it because she doesn't like the attention. But the founder of this organization, who's an amazing woman, let's just say she's not a young woman, has energy that I don't have and perseverance to save animals.
Good.
I mean,
who
you know,
pays for all this, by the way?
Well, hopefully all of you, you know. I mean, right?
So it's donations.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's privately funded. I mean, the government has nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
You know, so they have done two things. First of all, they have saved countless animals. This year was the year of the puppy for some reason there. I don't remember the exact number, but well over 100 puppies were placed from this place. Sometimes pregnant moms came in from the street. You know, this is Mexico, so
they have a lot of stray animals.
They do. And the good news is also the other thing they've done is they've changed the culture there. They've raised the bar. So other facilities have raised their game as a result of what they've done. They've also changed the culture with awareness. I mean, last year when I went there, I spoke to a school. I thought, and you guys have spoken to school groups before, you know, you go into a classroom and you talk, in your case, about broadcasting, and in Bill's case, probably about gibbons.
Yep.
I don't know what he talks about.
That's it.
But he talks about that. I show up and these 20 people come out, then 20 more, then 30 more, then 20 more, then 30 more. I talked to the whole school.
Yeah.
Outdoors with a microphone. They had a translator for me, and I talked about animal welfare. And that's where it's got to begin, I think, is with the kids. But their culture is changing for a variety. Another reason is so many Americans and Canadians now live in Puerto Vallarta, and their feelings about animals are different. Having said that, because it's awfully complicated. There are many, many Latino Mexican people that have dogs and cats. They give them names. They love them in their own way, but they don't have the means to provide what we would think appropriately for them. But it doesn't mean they don't love them. And the standard is different because the culture is just different. But it's all kind of melding together. It's changing. And this one facility is part of the reason locally in the region around Puerto Vallarta as to why it's happening.
Very nice.
Pretty fascinating. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You do some great work. We're going to take a break. We're going to find out about some pet holiday anxiety.
Holidays. Yes. The holidays are right around the corner. Isn't that exciting?
And Giving Tuesday, will you explain that when we come back?
Oh, yeah. I've got the SPCA Puerto Vallarta is one idea. I've got another idea that I'm also personally involved with and have been for years.
Very good.
We'll continue talking to noted pet expert Steve Dale when we continue. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Noted pet expert Steve Dale visiting with us, Bill and Wendy, today on 720. Tell us about this cat that rocked your world.
Oh, man. Ricky. You know, when you think of very special relationships, you think Lassie and Timmy or something, you know, or you think of maybe Bill Leff and his Gibbon. But
Peanut the Gibbon.
Yeah. That joke never gets old. Can I tell you, we've been talking about your imaginary Gibbon for 25 years.
You say imaginary, which hurts his imaginary feelings. Don't think I won't hear about it when I get home, Wendy, because I will.
By the way, I want to wish my mom a happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
Steve's mom.
Thank you. So many, many years ago, this cat, a Devon Rex cat, comes into our life. And I don't know how it developed, a very special relationship with this cat. In part, it developed because of the piano. I was teaching our little miniature Australian Shepherd yet another trick to do on animal-assisted therapy that she would. So she'd go to the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago and other places and do what these therapy dogs do. That's pretty amazing. My wife came home one day and said, "Can you teach her another trick?" And I thought, I don't know why I thought it. How about a little kid's piano? I'd teach her to play. So I began the process of training her, and I closed the door so the other pets would be out of the room, and I used a clicker, and I clicked and treated, and the dog would raise the paw a little higher.
God, are you patient?
A little higher. No, she was doing okay. And I didn't close the door all the way. And in walks Ricky the cat, who looks at me, looks at the dog, looks at the piano, and goes, ting, 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 just like that. On the piano.
What song did Ricky play?
I don't know for sure, but...
just random notes.
It
only
was...
you.
That would have been cool if it was Brahms or something would have been...
He's a big Scott Joplin fan.
Right.
Da, 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 da.
He was our little meowtzart.
Oh.
And he played improvisational jazz.
Beautiful.
I think.
Yeah.
So here's a cat that was so social already. And I had always thought, well, you know what? If we could show what cats can be, that's a good thing. So I don't know what made me do this. Part of it, because I just don't remember. It was a while ago, but took Ricky the cat to Petco or PetSmart for a local cat shelter. We raised money or something. And there was Ricky at the pet store.
Playing. As the entertainment?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
Like you'd walk in the Nordstrom's and hear a piano play?
Yeah.
A little same. Different, I think.
I think it's the same idea. And then the TV stations heard about it.
Yeah.
And this was way before YouTube, you know, so... There were no piano playing cats. There were no cats that went out on leashes and harnesses. And because I did things, I think, with this cat, we had an incredibly special bond. And then along the way, this same cat, Ricky the cat, was diagnosed with, it's a long name, feline hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. It doesn't sound good. It's a very common heart disease in cats. And one of the outcomes is often sudden death. It is the number one reason why cats will die suddenly. You know how basketball players sometimes just drop,
yes.
You know, that are in really good shape? Same sort of thing, you know. So no cure, no treatment. And we continue doing the piano thing. I wouldn't travel with Ricky. Letterman even called, and I wouldn't travel with him.
Oh,
I
no.
thought, you know, that's too much stress.
You're the
you
only
know?
Person I know who said no to David Letterman.
Yeah, that's rare.
So, wow. Cat said yes. That's a weird thing.
Right.
Ricky's like, please.
Yes, come on, Steve.
As I recall, I wanted to videotape it and do it other ways, and he wasn't interested.
Oh,
so
no.
So eventually he did what these cats sometimes with this disease do, suddenly just die.
Oh.
And I thought, this isn't good. So I began a fund with the Wynn Feline Foundation. Wynn Feline Foundation supports funding for cat health. So if you have a cat, anything about your cat, at some point it was funded likely by the Wynn Feline Foundation. And we've raised a fair amount of money. Now there's a genetic test for Maine Coon cats and for Ragdoll
Boy,
cats.
Boy, they're beautiful, those Maine Coons.
Oh, they're gorgeous. But they carry this gene sometimes for this heart disease. So the test, a simple cheek swab,
can determine inexpensively whether the cat is carrying the gene, and if so, breeders tend not to breed those cats. So we're helping with those two breeds, but this disease happens in any breed or any mix of breeds, so we need to do better than that. We better understand the disease via the money raised, but as I say, we need to do better. You can learn more at Winn Feline Foundation. That's W-I-N-N, felinefoundation.org. And simply look for the Ricky Fund. And I hope it's because it is Giving Tuesday. I also mentioned the SPCA in Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you have a favorite shelter in your community or just a favorite facility, that's just fine by me, too.
WinnFelineFoundation.org.
Yeah, W-I-N-N. felinefoundation.org.
You're a good man. Holidays are coming up, or the holidays, as you like
better
to call
thank
them.
You
you're welcome. What do we do to prevent injury or illness during the holidays with our pets?
So for further information, I'll have a website in a moment that I can give all of you, but the good news is that many of our pets just love it when
he gets so excited. He
knocked
his
own headphones off. Steve, are you okay? Do you want to lay down for a minute? Are you all right?
See, why isn't this show televised?
Because of that. Because of what you just saw Steve do.
Which just proves a pie in the face or people falling down are the funniest. Three Stooges were right, right?
Yes.
You know? Thank you. I like that. You like the Three Stooges,
I do. Bill does not.
I remember that.
Yes.
See the things you remember about Bill and Wendy. It ought to be in the Bill and Wendy trivia book.
Maybe.
We won't get it done for this Christmas,
no,
but maybe
next year
next
for sure.
I think that would be a good thing.
We only have a minute.
How do we prepare our pets? What
all
do
right,
they need
so
to
you
do?
Make sure things that they shouldn't be eating are out of reach so they don't get into them. We know about chocolate, but we might not think about xylitol. That's an artificial sweetener that might be in those brownies that you don't want Santa to get overweight because Santa's already there. So you make it sugar-free for Santa.
Can I tell you, if Santa comes to your house and you've left him sugar-free brownies, you're getting coal. I mean, this is the one
brownies.
Day of the year.
But Santa may never know because it tastes really good.
All right.
But it's really bad for your pets. As one example, sometimes our pets get totally stressed out. Mm. So some pets love it when all those people come over and when Santa visits, some pets not so much. So put them, I say, in a room, close the door to that room. I've talked about pheromone products before with you guys, like Feel Away and Adaptil. Plug those things in. Feel Away for cats, Adaptil for dogs, and give the animals something else to do.
I got Feel Away for Wendy last year for Christmas. She loved it.
Good idea. And give them something else to do, something to chew on, something to play with. Maybe pump up WGN radio in the background so they're not hearing all those people go by.
We're big with dogs. There's a dog Fudge that listens to us all the time.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding.
We get texts.
And poinsettias. I don't say it correctly.
Poinsettia.
I'm not saying it. No.
They're not the best thing.
I thought they were poisonous.
Yeah, well, they're not the best thing. It probably wouldn't kill your dog. I'm not encouraging dogs to eat it, and it's not a good thing.
But sometimes they do.
But fresh holly is worse, and I'm going to break your romantic bubble here. Mistletoe is terrible. That's very dangerous for pets. Amaryllis, big at this time of year, also dangerous for pets.
And if there are any important ornaments that you really love, don't hang them low on the tree.
Yes, absolutely. I say don't even put them on the tree. Also anchor the tree. So if cat or dog does for some reason jump toward it.
Is that a cat on your tree or an ornament? It sure looks lifelike.
It goes, wow, you wonder.
Yeah, sure.
And for further information about all of this, it's happypetholidays.com.
Steve, thank you so much for coming by. There's a reason you're a noted pet expert.
It's because I'm here with you.
I guess so.
Yeah, that's,
I guess
clearly
that's the
it.
Why.
Happy holidays!
That's why.
That's why. That's the reason why.
Thanks, Steve.
A break
Thank
and then
you.
Some news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
So nice talking to Steve Bertrand as he prepares for the Wintrust business lunch.
Yes. He came in and ran some ideas past us. You know who's in trouble, Wendy, is Anthony Michael Hall.
I heard about this.
He's in trouble. That's one of my favorite Brat Packers. If I had to rate my favorite Brat Packers, Anthony Michael Hall would be in the top six or seven for sure.
Not top one, though.
No. Mm-mm. Who would that be? Who would be your favorite Brat Packer? Would it be Rob Lowe? Yeah. I think he might be my favorite, too.
Because he's just had such a great body of work.
Molly Ringwald would certainly be in there.
You had your chance.
Demi Moore would be in there. Ally Sheedy.
What has Demi done for me lately, though?
Well, she, you know.
Is she back with Bruce Willis, by the way?
No.
I heard.
You think?
I hear things.
I don't see that happen. I don't think so.
What happened to Judd Nelson?
Judd Nelson would be in there. He's still working from time to time, not as often as he used to be. And then, who was the guy who was on the show called The Family?
Andrew McCarthy.
Andrew McCarthy was a good Brad
Packer. I like
him.
That was a great show. I'm really upset to see that go.
Am I leaving anybody out? I'm trying to think of who I'm leaving out.
Ducky. John Cryer.
He was like a fringe backpacker.
He was the Joey Bishop.
Right.
Wasn't there a Peter
Lawford, Joey Bishop branch? Oh, yeah.
Yes. I guess I was thinking Peter Lawford.
They can hang out with the Brat Packers.
But they aren't.
Right.
The Brat Pack.
Like Mayor Winningham would also be a fringe Brat Packer.
Good call.
Right? Mayor Winningham, maybe? Breakfast Club actor Anthony Michael Hall is facing a charge of felony battery with serious bodily injury after he allegedly shoved a neighbor to the ground and broke his wrist, according to authorities. Now, I say allegedly because that's in the story from the LA Times, but there's video of this.
You didn't see the video?
I'm not, no.
It's a very strange video. It's from far away, but you can definitely see him, and it looks like a neighbor. It's a weird little setup. It looks like little prison buildings. It doesn't look like a great little setup.
It's a gated community.
Yeah, but so they're maybe, like, little villas or something.
Yeah, right.
And so you see this guy come out in the distance, and he must have yelled something, because then you see
Anthony Michael Hall.
You don't need three names.
He's got three names.
Well, it's perfect now that he's been arrested, because you need three names when you get arrested.
Right.
But you see him kind of turn, like maybe the guy said something. And then they get closer together, and you see Anthony Michael Hall, like, shove the guy down on the ground. He hits the ground, and then my favorite part of the video is they kind of go their separate ways, and then they come back and begin talking to each other, and they turn a corner. So yeah. I guess they're still fighting there, because you see this woman come out who I guess lives in the residence, and she's just... She looks like she just got up off the couch and just kind of walked out there and walks very slowly and turns around the corner like, what is going on? Oh, my God. It's funny to watch her.
Who's videotaping this?
I don't know if it was security. I think it was security cameras.
Security cam.
Because it is up very high and you do see them at a distance. But he totally threw this guy on the ground.
You know what's surprising about him? He was at Comic-Con in Rosemont 2 or 3 years ago. I don't remember which. And I went to talk to him to see if we could convince him. I don't know if you remember, we were trying to get him on the show, and he wanted to do a phoner, and I said,
we
want you to come in. Well, I was at Comic-Con anyway.
Was there a line to see him? Because that really saddens
me. He wasn't scheduled yet. This was before his time scheduled for people to come and meet him. So it was kind of backstage at the Comic-Con. And Robin, who we've had on, she books guests. She brought me in to meet him and stuff. And what I was surprised about with him was... I'm so used to him in his Brat Pack roles where he's kind of a skinny, wiry kid.
He's filled out.
He's really a big guy.
He's tall and thick. He like grew in his 30s or something.
Yeah,
seriously.
Much later than anybody else.
Did he throw you down?
No, I asked him. I said initially, I go, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't throw me down on the ground. And he agreed to that. So we had a conversation without any tossing to the ground.
Well, you got to watch this video, and I don't know what the charges are from the other dude, but it almost looks like he said something like, you're a loser.
Right.
I know. I'm just paraphrasing.
Wow, foul language.
But I don't know. It almost looks like he said something, because then Anthony Michael Hall like turns to look at him, and then, you know, there's not even really fisticuffs. It looks like he kind of punched and threw him down to the ground.
All in one move.
Kind of, yeah. I don't know that I saw the punch, but...
This is in the video. They can show it in the video. That's the only thing on his IMDb page in the last 5 years, by the way. It's been slow. Although he was in The Dead Zone. Remember we were talking about The Dead Zone the other day, the movie with Christopher Walken and Martin Sheen? They did a TV version of that was on for like 3 or 4 years. I never saw it, but I've heard it was really good. He played the Christopher Walken part in that. The incident occurred at Hall's Playa del Rey condominium complex on September the 13th when a neighbor left a gate open. Well, you could see where he'd be upset and throw people to the ground. You don't want your gate open.
Well, what if you have a dog that would escape?
I think he's more afraid of other Brat Packers coming in. I don't want Judd Nelson coming to my house. Come here, you.
He has weird-looking nostrils.
Right. The neighbor suffered a broken wrist and a back injury when the actor shoved him to the ground after an argument turned physical. This according to court records. Anthony Michael Hall aged, you want to guess on this one?
All right. I would say 51.
Almost 48 years old. The Brat Packers are all right around 50 now. Hard to imagine. Hall, 48, was charged on November the 17th, but is yet to surrender to authorities. Is he a fugitive? I wonder if he is a fugitive. He faces up to 7 years in prison if convicted.
Up to. It's not going to be that.
Well, they're saying, I don't know if it says it in this version of the story, but a minimum of 3 years
and
a maximum
added more
of seven.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. That's a long time.
He's not going to go to jail for this.
If you'll notice, and this is horrible to say, but true, celebrities tend to get out of their jail sentences a lot easier than most people.
I don't know about now.
You don't think anymore?
No, but I mean, if this is his first offense.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't see him going away for 7 years. He didn't kill the guy.
Right, that's true.
He broke his wrist and allegedly hurt his back.
Well, his first offense was that season he was on Saturday Night Live. So you got to throw that in there,
that
too.
That was horrible. I'd give him 20 years just for that.
Just for that 1 year.
He was so bad on that.
Everybody was.
That was the worst cast.
Robert Downey Jr. was in that year. He was horrible.
He was. And look at him now.
And he's doing okay now. Randy Quaid was in that year.
I can't believe. And look at him now.
Yeah.
Maybe those were his best years.
Think about that. Of that cast of eight people, two of them, and they also worked together on the Vacation movies. Anthony Michael Hall was Rusty in the first Vacation movie.
And that was Quaid's best role ever in the world.
Oh, yeah. The Los Angeles Police Department's Pacific Division investigated the incident, which was reportedly captured on video. They keep saying reportedly and allegedly, but you've seen the video, so it exists.
Innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Right. The neighbor obtained a temporary restraining order against Hall after the incident, but did not seek a permanent injunction, according to court records. Imagine you're telling your friends that you had this run-in with your neighbor, and they go, God, what a jerk. What a terrible guy. Who is it? And you go, well, it's Anthony Michael Hall from all the teen movies.
Name dropper.
Isn't that weird?
It is.
Even as he was throwing me to the ground, I'd be like, wow, I'm getting tossed to the ground by Anthony Michael Hall. How did my life take this unexpected twist?
Would you press charges?
I don't think I would, because it's Anthony Michael Hall.
Well, look who just said celebrities tend to get off a little easier. It is, but...
Judd Nelson, yes. Just to prove a point.
But you get a restraining order from a guy who lives in the little villa next to you.
Right.
That's weird.
Right.
I'm just going outside the house. Well, you're across my line.
Yeah.
The whole thing's bizarre. There's some history between these two.
There has to be. When you were a kid, I remember when I was a kid, every day in the summer, the word property was brought up by kids in the neighborhood. Hey, you can't cross. This is my property.
Right.
This is our property. I remember we used to play, my friends and I would play baseball in the backyard, and our next door neighbors were kind of doofuses, so we wouldn't let them play. So they would come like in our yard, but they would stand up against their fence. So they were technically in our yard, but they were laying up against their fence, and they'd go, well, this is our property.
Well,
so
you should have let him
here.
Play.
No.
That's why they did that.
Yeah, maybe. And Anthony Michael Hall was one of them. That's the weird. Isn't that a strange?
You deserve to be pushed down by Anthony Michael Hall.
But remember,
Judd Nelson.
And they'd do it together. One of them would like make themselves a human table, and then the other one would push us over the human table. Stupid Brat Packers. But remember, like, when you were a kid, like, that was, like, the word that everybody would use.
You're right. This is our property.
You could ride your bike on the sidewalk, but if it went onto their grass a little bit, there'd be a problem. Hey, this is our property. Get off of our property.
That's all we had as little kids, though, to protect.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
That's our property.
Yeah.
If you got mad, get off my property.
That was
a big thing.
All day, every day. I heard the word property 100 times a day in the summer when I was a kid.
Well, you wouldn't let anyone on your property or play with you.
We had barbed wire. We don't want anybody on our property.
It was like Alexandria. What's the place in The Walking Dead?
Alexandria?
Yeah. You had everything.
You had
the walls.
Yeah. Yep.
You were the original Trump.
No, we weren't. All right. We need to take a break. That's what we need to take. And then more show. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right. It is us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy has alerted me to the fact that the video exists of Anthony Michael Hall having an altercation with his neighbor on TMZ. Well, there's a couple sites that show the video, and he really does kind of really knock him down hard to the ground. I think I'm most shocked by the fact that in my head, Anthony Michael Hall lives in some sort of a mansion, some sort of a Brat Pack mansion.
That's not a great looking place.
But it's a very, very small looking...
barracks.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know the whole story, but and here's what I'm assuming. It looks like the guy does like a Dennis Rodman flop. Now, unless he was really hit so hard where it knocked him out, because his legs go up in the air, I just feel like sometimes, you know, oh, look at Anthony Michael Hall lives in our subdivision or gated community, gated like prison bars. I don't know what it is. And it's like, let's irritate him so he'll go after me. And it looks like he's doing a Dennis Rodman flop, but I wasn't there.
Oh,
I don't
maybe.
Know.
Yeah. All right.
He's done a lot of work recently, though, Bill.
Not. Do you mean recent, like in the last 2 or 3 years?
No, I mean like now.
Yeah, he's working right now.
He's got 3 movies in post-production right now. He did.
Not including the security footage?
No.
What if he gets an Emmy for that?
He was in Rosewood, the TV series.
I'm not
Z
sure what
Nation,
that is.
The TV series. This all 2015, 2016. Murder in the First TV series. And
I've heard of that.
The Lears. In post-production.
I don't know what that is either.
Bodied.
But, you know, we think of him for his Brat Pack roles, right? Like Breakfast Club and stuff. But he was in The Dark Knight. That was the first Christian Bale Batman movie. He was in Edward Scissorhands.
He was?
Yeah. Wasn't he Winona Ryder's ex-boyfriend in that?
Oh, yeah. So I love that movie.
It's a great movie. He's really been, he was in some movie that day at Comic-Con that I talked to him. He's in some movie about a homeless guy that's a really good movie, and I can't remember the name of it. I'll find it on IMDb. It's one of those movies that kind of just came and went, and I didn't see it because I knew Anthony Michael Hall was in it. It was just a movie we went to see, and it was a surprisingly good movie, and he was really good in it. He's a good actor.
He played Whitey Ford in 61 Asterisk.
Yes.
And he played Mutt Lang in Hysteria, the Def Leppard story.
Oh, I need to see that.
I kind of want to see it.
I
want
to see that. 61 was the movie about Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle that Billy Crystal directed on HBO. And yeah, he was. He was one of the baseball. Thomas Jane is in it also.
You forgot that, didn't you?
I did forget that. So it's surprising how many really good roles he's had,
including Zombie Night, a TV movie.
Was he in Zombie Night?
He played Patrick.
Oh.
So he's been working. Allegedly, he's got 4 projects now.
Why doesn't he have a bigger house?
I don't know, Bill.
He had to have made a decent sum of money from the movies he's been in.
Did he have a drug problem, too?
Not that I know of. I didn't ask him
that. He has anger issues, that's for sure.
He does have some anger issues, doesn't he? But he seems to be, I mean, you can't tell because of the security video, but he seems to be quite a bit larger than the neighbor that he knocked down. Not that that should enter into it, but it seemed like if there was going to be some sort of a battle, he was going to win that battle out of these two guys.
But didn't you see like what looked like some kind of situation where the neighbor said something and then he...
Without a doubt.
So you never know what happened.
Right. And they're saying in the story that all this stemmed from somebody leaving the gate open at the gated community. And as soon as your gate's open, your gated community has the wrong name because people can just walk right in.
But I'm telling you, if that's a gated community, are you trying to keep people from leaving or people from coming in? I don't know what it is.
They're very nonspecific about that and what that means.
Save your money, Bill. That's what it teaches you.
But even like when he did the Dead Zone, the TV show, that was on for 3 or 4 years. So he had to have made, if not from the Brat Pack movies, then from Dead Zone. I just always envisioned him, not that I spent a lot of time thinking about it, but in my head, Anthony Michael Hall lives in a much nicer house than this one.
All right, but he was only in 6 episodes of the Dead Zone, and it was in 2002 to 2007.
It. No, he was the lead character in that.
One,
he was
two,
in every
three,
episode
four,
of that.
Five. Oh, maybe he was in 81 episodes.
He was in 81 episodes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's in all of them. I'm sorry. But still, that was 2002 to 2007.
Yeah.
You can't live
on
that.
So maybe his money's all gone already?
Although then he was in The Dark Knight in 2008, CSI Miami. He's been working.
Yeah.
Pretty steadily.
So why doesn't...
He was on Community.
Oh, he was. You know why?
Just 2 episodes.
Do you know why he was?
Were they making fun of him?
No, because Chevy Chase was on Community, so all of a sudden you've got a reunion of the guys from Vacation, the father and son, Clark and Rusty are on together. Huh. Yeah. They did that a lot on Community. They would do stunt casting like that.
A series called Warehouse 13 he was on from 2011 to 2012. Sexy Evil Genius.
Was he Sexy Evil Genius?
It's just a video released in 2013.
Like a home movie or something?
I don't know. And then another video called Dead in Tombstone.
Maybe he was afraid somebody would break into his gated community and steal the tapes of that. Wouldn't that scare you?
I'd punch someone out for that.
I don't want anyone to steal that. All right. We'll take a break. We've got news in a little bit, and then Steve Bertrand will be by. He's got the Wintrust Business Lunch. He'll tell us what to expect from the Wintrust Business Lunch. So stay right here. It's WGN.
And can we just give away our Firehouse Subs gift card right now?
Yes.
Right here, right now?
Yeah.
It's the Bill and Wendy Firehouse Subs lunch break, and it's time for it right this second. You can be what caller at what number, Bill?
Oh, be caller 14 right now at 312-981-7200. Don't mess around. Caller 14 wins.
You can win a Firehouse Subs gift card. All you do is ask for the Bill and Wendy special. If you don't win the gift card, and you'll get the seasonal turkey and cranberry sub for only $4.99. Find a Firehouse Sub near you at firehousesubs.com. Firehouse Subs, founded by firemen. Looking for caller 14, 312-981-7200.
Oh, thank you, Kim. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. This is part two of our Tuesday show. As always, if you want to reach us, 312-981-7200, call us or text us.
Did you go through puberty on our lunch break? Because your voice sounds very smooth and sexy.
A lot more manly than it used to be, isn't it?
You're hearing it in your headphones. Doesn't it sound really good for once?
Yeah. I've been producing a lot of testosterone lately, Wendy, and I don't know why. I don't ask questions why, but it's at a surplus.
How do you know? Do you take your testosterone levels?
I now have to shave, thanks to Harry's Shave Club, I now have to shave every 20 minutes.
You're like Homer Simpson. He shaves and then immediately...
The sprouts right up. Yeah. No, I can't explain it. I'm not complaining, but a lot of testosterone lately.
Why don't you do that unshaven look, you know, that was made popular in the 80s by...
Don Johnson.
Sonny Crockett.
Yeah, Don Johnson. You know what happens? I have this period, like, it's been years since I had a beard. I did have one in college for a while.
We saw pictures. It was black. Your hair was blonde.
Yeah.
That looked normal. Good look.
That looked natural.
It happens, though.
I blended right in.
Carpet did not match the drapes on that one.
No, not in that case. Nope. It's the weirdest thing. Like, when I start to grow a beard, and I shave every day. Sometimes I shave twice a day, seriously.
Like, if you have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if I shave in the morning, and then all of a sudden...
There's a wedding or something.
Hey, we have a thing. Oh, yeah. So I have to shave again.
What a pain.
Yeah, it is. It is. But if I don't shave, like, the first 4 or 5 days, I look like a mess. Like, a lot of guys pull it off. We just had lunch with Todd Manley, one of our bosses, who explained that it looks like Kevin may be let go soon. So,
that is not what happened.
No, that's not what happened at all. So Todd hasn't shaved in a couple days, and he looks rugged, and he looks like his own name. He looks manly. But like, if I go a couple days without shaving, people go, oh, no, is everything okay? Like, everybody's concerned for me.
I got to see it now.
You don't want to see it. It looks like I'm in a gutter. I look awful.
Well, I guess the difference is Todd Manley dresses well and has great shoes.
That has something to do with it, I bet. But if you'd think I was either sick or down on my luck or both. That's how I look for easily 4 or 5 days. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, I see what you're doing. You're growing a beard and a mustache after almost a week. And it grows. I mean, it grows in, but it's like it's uneven. And
is it really after all these years of shaving?
Yeah.
Because they say once you shave, it comes back, you know, bushier.
Nope. I don't know. And now some of it's like a silvery color. Like sometimes on a Sunday, I'll go, I don't have anything to do today. I'll just go without shaving. And even that one day, some of it's black, some of it's silver. I look like an Oakland Raider. I'm sporting the Oakland Raider colors on my face.
It's called salt and pepper.
That's what it is.
What a man, what a man, what a mighty
salt
good man.
Pepper.
Jimmy Mack has done the, I thought it was just laziness, where it's just the it's the shadow, I guess. I don't know what else to say it. But right. It's not lazy because you have to trim that.
Right.
To get like that, I think it would be easier just to keep shaving.
Yeah, probably.
And isn't it itchy?
No, not for me. But my wife has said, like, on those days, it's not pleasant to
get a room.
Yeah, maybe that'll happen.
What, Kevin?
I was just going to ask, would you ever consider growing a decemberbeard?
A what?
A decemberbeard. Oh. That's a beard that you grow during the month of December.
Yeah.
And you do it because why? Is it for charity?
Maybe some people do it for charity, but some people can just grow it.
Well, what's the Movember? Isn't that a mustache?
That's a mustache.
Yeah, that's what I participate in.
In November?
I don't wax the whole month of Movember.
How about that? That's interesting. We have that to look forward to in 11
Boy,
months.
I stopped you both on that
one.
Well,
we don't know what to do now.
I don't know. Movember benefits like prostate cancer.
Yeah, I believe
like
you're
that.
Correct.
Yeah.
But you should do it. I like that look. Ro kind of started to do it. Has he shaved yet?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But
isn't that terrible? We saw him yesterday, and I can't tell you if he still has it.
I don't.
That's bad.
Do you remember there was an episode of The Office? There's a character on The Office named Stanley, who was kind of a sad sack guy in The Office. Stanley, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
So there was an episode where one cast member says to another, quick, Stanley, does he have a mustache or does he not have a mustache? And I think that was a test for all of us who'd been watching him on the show, because I watched that with my wife and one of my daughters, and my wife goes, no, he doesn't. My other daughter, yeah, he does. And I go, I swear, I don't know. And that was a guy at that point you saw every week on the show.
But didn't notice him.
Couldn't figure out whether he did or did not have a mustache.
Was it an invisistache? Because now I can't.
No, it was, I don't remember if he ended up having one or not, the character of Stanley. But, you know, I'm like that with coworkers. Like Kevin some days, like today, you didn't shave today, obviously, right?
No, I don't usually.
He just doesn't shave, and you don't even really notice whether
he does
or not.
How much younger is he than you? I mean,
does it have to do with years?
Well, yeah. You've got more testosterone. You said it at the beginning of the show.
A lot more. But now that it's coming in like black and silver, and I know women always go, oh, it looks distinguished. But to us, it looks old. It doesn't look distinguished at all. It just looks like you've gotten old, or I've gotten old.
You've gotten older.
I have gotten older.
You have.
Yeah.
I know. Bertrand rocks the gray hair.
But Steve looks like a professor.
My hair's not gray.
What is
no,
it?
No, but in your beard it is.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it's gray.
I don't give a care.
I like it.
I like it too, but it fits Steve. But Steve, it fits, like you have a more scholarly look than me. I don't look like I'm teaching a class somewhere.
You mean older.
But no, not older, just wiser kind of, you know?
Damn, I would have thought Stanley did not have a mustache.
But he does have like a pencil thin mustache, right?
It's not that pencil thin. It's non-distinguished.
Yeah, right.
It's just there.
But isn't that weird? Like there's probably people in real life, much like the character Stanley, that I go, quick, this guy, does he or doesn't he have a beard or a mustache? Like, Steve, I don't think of you as having a beard, but you've had a beard for quite a while.
A goatee, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A goatee, mustache, I guess.
I notice. Yeah. Coach Q.
That's Hall of Fame mustache.
That's an umbrella.
It is.
That's a lip umbrella.
That's mustache enough for two or three guys.
Yep.
Like if I needed to borrow a mustache,
come
I'd call
in out
him.
Of the rain mustache.
Yeah.
Dave wants that.
Well, mustache.
Half a mustache. Get
yeah.
it right.
Not your
that
best.
That never
mustache.
Filled in.
No.
It didn't.
No. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We have a big show for you, all kinds of guests. And if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
You've gotten really good at guitar.
Well, I'm taking lessons during the show now.
During the show?
Yeah.
I haven't noticed.
Yeah. A girl named Leslie comes in and teaches me how to play the guitar during the show.
I
thought it was a guy named Leslie. That's
it. Might be a guy. I can't
Leslie
tell.
Nielsen is teaching you guitar.
Late Leslie Nielsen.
All right, here I feel bad because we're going to talk about one David Crosby. And I said to Kevin very quickly, I said, find some David Crosby music.
He just found him practicing. He didn't find one of his hits. This is just David with a little time to himself.
That song has the most hits on Spotify.
What's it called?
Music is Love.
Well, sure it is.
David Crosby.
Yeah.
David Crosby's music is love.
Not a lot of people on Spotify are listening to David Crosby.
That's a good point.
That could be it. David Crosby's in the news because he said something that is almost the exact same mirror image of what I said a little over a week ago.
Maybe you can father a baby from Melissa Etheridge now.
Don't think we're not looking into that, Wendy, because we are.
You have all this extra testosterone.
I do a lot, right. She knows it, and I know it.
The guitar.
Oh, good God.
All right, here's what happened. This is about a week ago. Kanye West had to go to the hospital, you know, and people now are questioning whether Kanye West is all there or not, which I've been questioning for a long, long time, because he says things all the time, and you go, only a crazy person would say what Kanye West is saying. Well, now it turns out Kanye West, who was hospitalized for what they're saying is exhaustion, now they're questioning his mental capacity. They think something might be wrong with Kanye West. They're saying that because Kim got held up in Paris, France, that might add to it a little bit. Exhaustion may add to it. He's been on a long concert tour. But I just think Kanye's not right. He's just not right.
And when his mother passed away, that has set him into a tailspin as well.
I think it did. But he also, Kanye West, has an extremely high opinion of himself. If you've seen him anywhere over the last decade or so, he considers himself, he has said this in no uncertain terms, he considers himself to be one of the great minds of our time and one of the finest artists. And I used this as an example about 6 months ago. He was reeling off the great minds of our generation, and he mentioned Steve Jobs, and he mentioned Walt Disney and a couple of other people, and then at the end of his list, he mentioned himself.
Well, and he said, and Kanye.
But he meant himself.
Well, I didn't think it was Kanye Sr.
There's no other Kanye. All right, so now David Crosby is on Andy Cohn's show, Watch What Happens Live. Did you ever see that show?
No.
It's on the cable. Andy Cohn's Watch What Happens Live. And David Crosby, here's the story. It says, is from MSN, David Crosby has never shied away from telling the rest of the music industry what he thinks. And I do have to say, I like that about him. And you could say, well, isn't that what Kanye West is doing too? He's just speaking his mind. Yeah, but David Crosby's kind of earned it more, in my opinion. The guy's been around for almost 50 years doing music. You know, he's part of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, but I can never remember which one he is. But he is. He's in there.
And Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Right. He's in that
prior
other group.
Prior to Neil Young.
Right. And he's just in the group David Crosby. He's in three groups. He's good.
Song is trending on Spotify. Music is love.
Yeah.
Love is music.
I know.
What's it called?
Music is love.
Oh.
His appearance on Andy Cohn's Watch What Happens Live on Wednesday night, this past Wednesday, was no exception. The music icon made his feelings about Kanye West abundantly clear. Listen to what he said about Kanye West. He can neither sing, nor write, nor play, David Crosby
Ouch.
Told Andy Cohn. When Cohn asked him to explain, he then said, he cleared his throat.
Did
and
he
then
say
he
that?
Said,
How
yeah.
did he spell that?
R-H-R-H-R-H. Like that. The thing that bugs me about him is his, I'm the greatest living rock star. Crosby even gave some recommendations for West's musical education, saying somebody needs to drive him over to Stevie Wonder's house right now so he can understand what a real rock star is. Secondly, they should send him all of Ray Charles' catalogs so that he could learn how to sing.
Okay, but this isn't really fair, because what Kanye West does is there's a little Stevie Wonder in there, really no Ray Charles. It's different. It's a different genre.
It is. Now, about a week ago, I heard a song that Kanye West does, and I've heard this song before. And
Do you have it? Does Kevin have it?
We can't play it because it's filled with obscenities.
And that's why you like it?
And Steve Bertrand gets upset, and so does Steve Burton. Richard Burton's younger brother gets
Lynn
upset.
Burton's.
Lynn Burton, for certain, gets upset. All right. There's a song.
I want to be Burton Cummings. Right. My favorite Burton.
Oh, my God. That guy. Speaking of voices.
That guy could sing.
Holy crap.
All right. So in this song that Kanye West does, it's about Taylor Swift. And it's about, and I'm just paraphrasing here. We can't play it. I want to play it, but it's laced with swear words. It's about Kanye West saying that if he wanted to, he could sleep with her, with Taylor Swift, and that without him, she would not be a superstar, which I'm almost positive is not true. I'm 100% positive it's not true. Also, if you're his wife, if you're Kim Kardashian, in between getting robbed by French guys, don't you say to him at some point, hey, I'm married to you now. So even if you think that, don't sing about that. Taylor Swift is a lovely woman, but let's keep that up in your head and not on the lyric sheet. What's wrong with you?
Kim Kardashian is secure enough in her own big butt to
wow.
attractive.
Yeah.
Shapely, but large.
Sure.
She doesn't care.
If Jimmy, if your husband wrote a song.
He has, about you.
He wrote a song
and
about
me? And your toy collection.
That's weird.
Tell me about
that's
it.
That's kind of weird. If he wrote a song that he was singing and it was about how if he wanted to have sex with some woman, Taylor Swift or otherwise, wouldn't you go, hey, the song's really nice and stuff, but could you not play that song anymore? That's kind of upsetting to me. I'm your wife.
Yeah, but that's me. I'm not a Kardashian.
My wife wouldn't let me sing the Jake Arrieta song anymore, and I don't even... I don't even hint at a relationship with him. I just say he's a good pitcher. And she's like, no more with the song. Maybe because it's too long.
Yeah, but think right away what comes to mind is Allison from Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
It's a unrequited love song there.
Right.
But he's married to someone else now.
Right.
So does he never do that song again?
Except that in that song, it's kind of a tribute to her. It's a loving tribute. If you have you ever heard the song about Taylor Swift?
No.
It's just about how if he wants to have sex with her, he could do that, and without him, she's nothing. It's awful.
But see, it's if he wanted to, he could, but Kim Kardashian is going, but he doesn't want to because he has me.
I don't know. He still wrote a song about it, which leads you to believe he's still thinking about it.
I just think he's thinking about if she wanted it, whatever. I'm confused already. If he wanted to, he could.
I wish
it's
so
not
badly
that he
could...
does want to.
No, he wants to.
Who you doesn't? Could, way, I want to. She's very attractive.
She's a very pretty girl.
She really is so cute.
She's a very adorable girl. But that said, like when the show's over, you and I aren't going to probably write a song about that, are we? Probably not.
If I could write a song.
If you want to do it,
like...
I would stay, all right? Maybe I'll do it. But I just love David Crosby saying, hey, Mr. Greatest Rock Star on the Planet, how about Stevie Wonder? How about Ray Charles? And then he stopped. Like he could have gone 100 deep, and he didn't. He just stopped at 2.
Yeah, he could have gone 100 deep.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, there is no Ray Charles... There's a little Stevie Wonder. Well, probably not.
No, I know what you mean. I mean, he...
Just, it's right. Different than your average music.
Right. But I don't even think he's... In criticizing him this way, I don't even think he's being that specific about the music. He's just saying, hey, before you compare yourself to the greats, listen to the greats and find out what they represent, because you're not even... He's not even in that ballpark. He's not even close. I mean, I know it's just my opinion...
But there are some people that say Kanye is the best thing to ever happen to music.
You know
and he
who says that? Kanye West says
no,
that.
No, there are a lot of people that are big fans of his music and say he's completely changed and created a whole, his own genre.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those people.
Right, but so, there are, no, I know there are.
I mean, some people think he's really something.
Yeah. Yep.
But, you know, who did David Crosby listen to inspire him? David Crosby's a little crazy, too.
He is, but I just like the fact that somebody in show business is calling him out, going, hey, you know, you keep comparing yourself to Jesus because he does.
That's
I told you he keeps
weird.
Comparing himself to a slave. He talks about how he's treated like a slave all the time. That's not fair.
The best treated slave
he's
ever.
He's not treated like a slave
no,
ever. On his worst day, he's not treated like a slave. But if you listen to him, he is. So
you have hate in your heart.
No, I don't. Look.
Put a little hate.
That's not how it goes.
That wasn't Kanye?
No, that's not no. his. Nope. All right, a break. Steve with the news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Earlier today, and Steve, you've reported about this in the news, there was a horrible airplane crash with a Brazilian soccer team. Now, this happened in Colombia, Medellin, Colombia, which I believe, if my geography is right, is north of Brazil, correct? Does that sound
I
right?
I have no idea.
All right, so there was a huge crash.
Yes, north and west.
North and west. 75 people killed miraculously, much to the almost disbelief of everybody who has seen this crash. There were 6 survivors, unless that has changed, Steve, I'm looking on online. I don't see any change in that unless you do up in the newsroom.
I have not seen a change in the numbers.
A horrendous, horrendous crash. Actually, do we have the audio, Kevin? Can we don't have the audio yet.
We will get it. But now this involved a Brazilian club soccer team. And from what I've been hearing in reports, there were some big stars on this team.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm sorry, but the first thing I thought of was that movie Alive.
Yes.
In the Andes Mountains.
Right. Where they went to,
they had to eat
cannibals.
Each other.
Yeah. The footage of this is eerie for several different reasons. A bunch of the players and people on this plane, and what the plane was consisting of, it was a chartered flight. So you had the soccer team, and then you had other people connected with the team, you know, coaches and residual people that are
a lot of reporters.
A lot of reporters. So several people somehow had taken video footage of the team in the airport just prior to the airplane leaving. And also, and I can't figure out how exactly this is possible, but they were showing this earlier on Good Morning America today. They show some of the players kind of talking on the plane as the plane was either about to take off or had just taken off, including one of the six survivors who was one of the stars of the team. But I don't know how that footage became available to ABC News so quickly. I can't understand how that
happened.
Did
one of the survivors have it?
I guess, but how?
If they survived, I'm sure a cell phone survived.
Yeah, I imagine.
You do look at the crash, and it's horrific, but there is a part of the fuselage that looks kind of...
Mostly intact.
Intact, and
right.
You know, obviously you think that that's where the six were sitting.
Yeah.
Man... I know you want to live, trust me. I mean, given the option, but it's like to see and to go through all that is just so much to handle.
Oh, yeah. But again, the alternative is not living.
Right,
so
I know.
Hopefully these six survivors, you know, can rebound as best they possibly can. We don't know yet the extent of their injuries. But when you see this crash, you say to yourself, how in the world did anybody survive this thing? Details were still coming in this morning. An official investigation has begun into a plane crash that killed 75 people, including members of the Brazilian club soccer team, near Jose Maria Cordova International Airport. This is in Medellin, Colombia. This happened just before 10 p.m. last night, Monday night. Colombian authorities confirmed that there were six survivors, three of them soccer players, two crew members, and then one journalist. The plane, charter flight CP2933, operated by Lamia Airline, was due to arrive in Medellin from Bolivia. That's the airport's official Twitter account confirming that information, adding that the plane suffered an electrical failure just prior to the crash. The team, and I don't know exactly how to pronounce this, forgive me for that, but it's C-H-A-P-E-C-O-E-N-C-E. I have no idea how to pronounce that, was due to play against Medellin's Atletico Nacional in the finals of the Copa Sudamericana on Wednesday, local media had reported. Aeroceval, that's Colombia's civil aviation authority, confirmed that the accident had taken place and said that the first steps of an official investigation, have now begun. The crash took place near the town of La Union in the mountainous department of Antioquia. When you see this area, it is almost extensively mountains, so you don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly what took place, but normally they're looking for the flattest possible place in an emergency landing. In this case, I don't know where you find flatlands. It's all a mountainous region. The South American Football Confederation said in a statement that it greatly regrets the crash and added that all of its activities will be suspended until further notice. I've thought about this several times, and I know this is an eerie thought, but what would happen here in the United States if a professional team's airline... You know, pick any of your sports, your football, your baseball, your basketball, your hockey. What does that do to the balance of that sport if a team's plane is to crash and lose all of its players? First of all, you wouldn't you feel weird just playing in games? I know life has to go on, but you go, well, boy, now I got to play a football game or a basketball game after a team just got taken out. I couldn't do it.
I don't think of it on the team aspect of it. I think of it as the city would be in such mourning.
The city would be
in
mourning, right.
Because, yes, part of the team was taken out. Obviously, they're going to have to regroup and get more members.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Or do they – this is a pretty popular soccer team. Do they just retire the team? Only, what, three survivors of the team?
Three out of the entire team survived. Yeah, and two crew members and a journalist. So, yeah, the balance of that team, not just the team but the sport, would change dramatically just in losing. And I don't know enough about soccer. I don't know who exactly is in their league. I know there's a tournament going on, and that was the reason that they had been traveling. But, boy, what a devastating thing. And like I said, when you see this footage, Good Morning America really did a great job of covering this this morning. You see this footage of these guys who are just, you know, this is hours prior to this, and it makes a story that's just horrendous anyway, just even more eerie, just going, nobody suspected this. You know, you get on a flight. How many thousands of flights are there every day? And they go, you know, without any kind of incident. And then this.
I know. And I'm not a good flyer. And, you know, everybody says it's safer travel than being in a car sure. on the Stevenson or the Eisenhower every day. But it's just when these, they do happen less frequently. But when they do, there are more people taken out. That's what the devastation is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking at their team picture, and it's they've only been in the top division in Brazil for the last couple of years. This according to a guy from World Soccer Magazine who was speaking to CNN. What they have achieved in the last couple of years was just amazing. Chapecoense is the name of the team. I'm probably saying it wrong. Had dreamed of winning the prestigious cup. The dream was over this morning, according to... the chairman of the team's board, he said, tearing up as he told the network of the last time he saw the players. Yesterday morning, I was saying goodbye to them. They told me they were going in search of the dream to make this dream a reality. And the dream was over this morning. It's so tragic.
It's awful. You know, one of the stranger side stories of the Andes crash. And was that a also a soccer team, or was that a...
I think a rugby team,
Was
Bill.
That a rugby team?
You know how I hate Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I was just trying to find information quickly, and I never trust it. They said an Uruguayan rugby team, so from Uruguay.
All right, so here was the side story that always stuck with me, and I don't remember. I remember reading the book and then seeing the movie, and one of them is called Alive, and one of them is called Survive. I don't know why they changed the title.
Alive is the movie, but I think there's a movie called Survive, too.
That also deals with this, or was it separate?
I don't know, Bill.
Anyway, there was one member of the team that for some reason couldn't travel with the team, and I don't remember if it was injury related or what it was, but there was one member of the team that couldn't travel with the team, and then that player died in some freak accident like a year after the plane crash.
See, that's what makes me think in You Can't Change Your Fate, and there's a great plan out there, because you hear people that if something tragic like this happens and you believe in God, how could God take out so many people?
Yeah.
But then I always, just to comfort myself, say, well, maybe these people would have met an untimely death somewhere else in a more horrific way. Or they would have gotten cancer and suffered. And it is weird that one of the few guys who didn't take the trip, something...
Still died
yeah.
in a strange accident.
Yeah, Survive was in 1976. A Uruguayan rugby team crashes in the Andes Mountains, has to survive the extremely cold temps and rough climate. As some of the people die, the survivors are forced to make a terrible decision between starvation and cannibalism. I think I'd starve. If you and me and Kevin, I couldn't eat you.
I'd eat Kevin.
Me?
Yeah.
He already said he wouldn't eat me, although I'd be tastier. I got marbleization.
Yeah, but you got the bad leg and stuff. You've
well,
had
don't
meat.
Eat my leg.
But I like drumsticks, so. No, I'm not.
Like
no offense.
Henry VIII
to you.
Eating a drumstick that big. God. Right. Bigger than anything you get at Taste of Chicago.
I don't mean any offense, but if that situation
I'd
were to
go
play
Kevin
out,
over
I
you.
Probably would have to.
Yeah,
Kevin.
I mean. Although he's so muscly, it'd be tough.
Yeah.
It'd be tough meat.
But I put him on an English muffin with like a little bit, not a lot of barbecue sauce, just a little barbecue sauce.
All right. So Survive was done, what did I say,
1975?
76.
76. And that was the novelization, right?
Yes.
The book.
And then Alive was 1993. A Uruguayan rugby team stranded in the snow-swept Andes are forced to use desperate measures to survive after a plane crash.
It was all those years later that they made the movie?
And Ethan Hawke was in it, Vincent Spano.
Oh, all right. So maybe there was an American version of it, because I think the version I saw of it might have been a Spanish version, maybe. I don't remember there being any star. I don't remember Ethan Hawke being in the version I saw. Maybe.
I saw the new one.
Yeah.
Because I just know, wasn't the crash in slow motion. Or I'm thinking of another movie with Jeff Bridges.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about. It's not Fearless.
Fearless.
Was it?
Yeah.
That is, I'm really not a good flyer. I really am not
Rosie
good.
Perez is in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the most believable plane crash I could imagine in my mind.
Yeah, it's gut-wrenching.
And this one, Alive, was also pretty intense.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really good movie. We have some calls. We got to take a quick break. 312-981-7200. 75 killed, 6 survived crash of charter plane carrying Brazilian soccer team in Colombia. More on this when we return. It's Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN. We're talking about the Brazilian soccer team. Only 6 survivors from this plane crash. 3 soccer players, 2 crew members, 1 journalist. 75 killed in Colombia. A really unbelievable thing. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hi, Wendy. Good. Thank you. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
This conversation prompted me or reminded me that my brother-in-law, who played for Western University of Michigan in the late 60s and the early 70s, played against the football team from Marshall University.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they had that movie, We Are Marshall.
Right.
When that movie came out, I just was talking to him about football, and I found out they played against Marshall the week before the plane crashed.
Ugh.
And I said, well, what do you remember? He said, I can still see the eyes of the guy across the line from me, and I can smell his breath.
Wow.
When that plane went down, that kind of seared into his memory.
Yeah.
You know, normally you just forget about it, but because of what happened to them, he had that memory. And I didn't even know that, you know, he'd had any connection to that until that movie had come out. And I just thought that was a kind of an astounding memory of that game because of what had happened.
It is.
And so I thought it was kind of along the similar flight.
It is very much. Wow. Yeah. How about that? Well, I appreciate it, Tom. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Take care.
Thank you.
The Washington Post has put together all of these tragic team events. So if we want to talk about it.
There haven't been a lot. There's always sports going on, not just here in the United States, but globally. And you think about all the travel that's done on a daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly basis. It's a miracle that this happens. I'm so glad it happens so seldomly. But it really doesn't happen very often.
There are about 24 of them.
Have there really been that many?
Hey, Casey.
Hi. Hey, you know, in the 80s, I think it was like 1987, I lived up in the Detroit area and worked in the automotive industry.
Yeah.
And that plane crash that happened where the little baby survived.
Oh,
you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
Well,
and the baby was the only survivor, right?
She was the only survivor.
Yeah.
My friends, we all worked. I worked for the automotive paint industry. Different friends were designers for GM. And we got tickets to go to NASCAR because one of my friends was one of the designers for the car. And his team was supposed to be on that plane to go to California because they were doing a presentation on a different design. And because I just was like, well, I've never been to NASCAR. Let's go, just kind of quippy. He was like, all right, I'll stay and then I'll fly out in the morning. And we went to the race, and when we were coming back, in between us, our group of friends, the plane crash happened. And all of his team members were on that plane. They all died.
Oh,
that's
awful. It was just like, I mean, just like a perchance that he changed his plans, changed his whole life. You know?
Why,
but it was weird. And then we had to go pick him up because he was just a little distraught. I've never seen anything so devastating as that wreckage that you had to go through because his working for GM, they still made him go out. They didn't care. He still had to go out and do the presentation.
He's still dead.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, the show must go on. I know that's terrible, though.
I know, but the wreckage was just unbelievable.
Sure.
It was just, I mean, it was everywhere, but yeah, it was kind of crazy.
Wow, very crazy. Well, Casey, thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Sure. You too. Bye.
I was astounded to find out that there were over 20 of these. I mean, ranging back from 1948,
that.
5 members of the Czech national hockey team, including International Ice Hockey Hall of Famer Ladislav Trojak, died when their plane vanished into the English Channel en route from Paris to London. So that's 1948, and the Washington Post has put together a whole list of them. Is it too morbid to discuss these when we come back?
Do they count stuff like Thurman Munson, who was alone on an airplane, or Roberto Clemente, who was in Venezuela?
Payne Stewart.
Payne Stewart.
No, these are...
this is like team planes?
Yeah. Yes, they're talking about other crashes that have taken the lives of athletes, coaches, and others. We don't have to talk about it, but I'm intrigued by some of this, though, because you get the history. You know,
yeah, let's cover
something
it.
Happens, and then it's like, oh, wow, this has never happened before, but in fact it has.
It has happened a bit. All right, yeah, let's do this then. Let's take a quick break. Steve will give you the news, and then we'll cover more of this. If you have any thoughts on this, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Not now, but in about a half an hour, we're going to talk to Alex Stone from ABC News about that strange story that took place out in California with the abducted woman who has since rejoined her family. A lot of strange twists and turns the last couple of days in that story. So Alex Stone will keep us up to date.
That is a weird situation. Yeah. She goes out, missing for 3 weeks, leaves two kids at home. Her husband's obviously worried about her, and then she's found walking down the street, like, badly beaten.
Along a road, I think, 87 pounds.
Yeah.
But I just have so many questions, because why do the people release her? Can't she go identify them, and did she?
It was, Steve, unless I'm remembering this wrong, it's two women that had abducted her and held her for a couple of weeks there, right?
Well, what she says is she remembers two Hispanic women. I don't know if they were behind it or if they were the only people, but that's what they've said.
All right. Well, Alex Stone will be by, and like I said, about 30 minutes, and we'll get an update on that story.
All right. I found some earlier plane crashes. Airplane travel, routine part of athletes' lives. In the regular season of major sports leagues in the United States, there are thousands of uneventful flights every year, which is how you want them. But when something goes awry, sports fans and the families, those lost, never forget. So we were talking about the crash in Colombia as Chapecoense Real. I know I'm saying it wrong, but they're the members of that soccer team that were on their way to a competition, and the plane went down. And let's talk to Marilyn before we talk about these other crashes. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. How are you?
We're good.
Thanks for hanging on, Marilyn. You remember a similar story like this, huh?
Yeah, it was a women's ice skating Olympic team.
That would be February 16th, 1961.
Oh, okay.
The entire 18-member U.S. figure skating team, along with 16 coaches, officials, and family members, died when their plane crashed in Belgium en route to the World Figure Skating Championship in Prague.
Yeah. I know it was pretty big.
Why do you remember it so vividly? I don't remember ever hearing that story.
Oh, yeah. My daughter and I think started watching the skating competitions, and she's the one that told me about it. So, in fact, if I talk to her right now, she could give me everything, you know, because we're so into watching the competitions and that. But, yeah, it was a big one, and there was a few famous women that were really on that team, so it kind of depleted it.
And then do you remember, Marilyn, when the U.S. then competed in the Olympics? I don't remember what the time frame would have been from the crash until the next Olympics, but the U.S. still did field a skating team, correct? They just took alternates, I guess, right?
I think so, yeah. Wasn't as exciting, though,
no.
I don't think, or it was low-keyed, you know.
Sure, I would
imagine. Yeah, but look at the entire 18-member thing.
The coaches and the skaters, wow.
It just, wow, yeah.
That's awful.
And
terrible.
Again, thank you for calling.
Sure.
That was in February of 1961, and the incident was the worst air disaster involving a U.S. sports team until members of the Marshall University football team were killed in a 1970 crash, which that earlier listener mentioned, and I have to be honest with you, I'm not familiar with it.
That's the inspiration for the book and the movie We Are Marshall. That's what they cover. I've never seen the whole movie. I've seen bits and pieces, and it's just a sad, tragic story.
And that is the crash that was November 14th, 1970. The crash that killed most of the Marshall University football team has become part of American sports lore, with a movie, as you mentioned, documenting the team's return to competition with the stirring We Are Marshall chant. 37 players died along with 9 coaches and 25 boosters when their plane crashed into a hill on approach at the Huntington, West Virginia airport. The crash remains the deadliest involving a U.S. sports team. Mm.
So I said earlier there haven't been many, and most of the ones, because you said there's about 24 that are listed, most of them took place prior to our lifetimes, right? Most of them are prior to 1960. There's not a whole lot of happened since, are there?
Well, yeah, the 61 was the figure skating
crash, and then Marshall in 70.
Yeah, in 1968, the Lamar Tech track team lost 5 members. And its coach in an early morning crash that occurred just before landing in Des Moines, Iowa. 1969, September 26, 16 players on Bolivia's The Strongest soccer team died when their plane crashed near a rural area of the county called Viloco. The team had been asked to play a postseason game. The wreckage was found 2 days after crashing. October 2, 1970, one of 2 planes carrying members of the Wichita State football team crashed just outside Denver after refueling en route to a game against Utah State, killing 14 players. That's 1970. Also 1970 in November, that Marshall University. 1972 was the Uruguayan Andes thing, the Alive and all that, the rugby team.
Yeah.
December 13th, 1977, Evansville men's basketball team virtually wiped out by the deaths of 14 players and coach Bobby Watson in a crash upon takeoff en route to a game against Middle Tennessee State.
And that was what year?
77. 1980, March, 14 boxers and 8 U.S. boxing staff members were killed when flight 007 crashed near Warsaw. The athletes were traveling from New York to Poland to compete.
I do remember this.
I do, too.
That one I do remember.
The jet crashed about a half a mile from Warsaw's airport.
What do you think would happen modern day? So, again, go with the big 4 in the United States, basketball, football, hockey, or baseball. If something horrendous like that were to happen, does the city and the team even bother to field replacements for the rest of the season?
God, or do no,
they
Bill.
Just... They just take the rest of the year off, right?
I mean, imagine they lose their whole team. How do you do that?
Yeah, I guess you'd have to. It's just, it's such a weird emotional thing either way.
I think you're done for the season.
You have to be, right? You'd have to.
November 25th, 1985, Iowa State women's cross-country team was returning to Ames, Iowa after taking 2nd in the NCAA championship in Milwaukee. When ice from a drizzle built up on the wings of the plane carrying 3 runners, 2 coaches, and a student athletic trainer. Although a plane carrying the men's team had landed without incident, the plane carrying the women's runners crashed into a residential neighborhood, cartwheeled onto a lawn, and burst into flames.
Wow.
In his last transmission, the pilot said, quote, "I can't do anything. I'm in the trees."
Oh, man. And again, these are just the incidents that had more of a team component. We had mentioned a bunch. Thurman Munson, Payne Stewart.
Payne Stewart is listed here, October 25th, 1999. Golfer Payne Stewart and 4 others died when his Learjet crashed in a field in South Dakota.
You know, it was midday, and that was a very different time. And we didn't have the communication that we do now. And I can remember when that plane was in the air, and we actually tracked it by phone call. I'm trying to remember exactly, Wendy, but when it crashed, I called a diner in the town in South Dakota where it crashed, like within minutes. The guy said, yeah, it's such and such's wife. She's at home. She just saw it. I got on the phone and talked to the wife.
Oh, my God.
When the plane crashed within minutes of it happening.
Oh, man.
That's good reporting work, Steve.
Well, it was back when, you know, not everyone had instant access
right,
to everything.
Right. So that's what I mean. Great work.
Steve, was that the one... And if I'm wrong, I apologize. But there was some celebrity plane crash where at some point the U.S. was trying to decide whether or not to shoot the plane down because they thought it could crash in a more populated area. Was that the Payne Stewart
probably
crash?
Probably it, because they had figured they were all disabled by some sort of carbon monoxide poisoning or something in the U.S.
It veered off course.
That's what I'm saying.
It was chased by Air Force and Air National Guard pilots who saw frost or condensation on the windshield and no sign of movement in the cockpit.
So we were tracking this plane all the way from south of Chicago. I mean, I think it took off in the southern part of the country.
So the whole crew and the passengers passed out, and the jet continued to fly until it ran out of fuel and then crashed.
Exactly.
Wow.
So at some point, they're trying to make the decision.
It was a different time, too, when we weren't as concerned about planes, you know what I mean, being a threat.
Right.
It was never thought that it was a threat. It just was, it clearly went off course and wasn't checking in.
So if that happened today, they would look at, first of all, has somebody somehow commandeered the plane?
Probably. Right?
That would be their thought.
I would think
there.
So, yeah.
And then 2004, that listener who called a little while ago, the Hendrick Motorsports team suffered a devastating loss when an airplane the NASCAR team owned crashed during a missed approach to an airport in Stuart, Virginia. Flight was en route to a race. Among the 10 killed were John Hendrick, president of the company, and former Busch Series driver and owner Ricky Hendrick.
Yeah.
So that's, we have a couple more. Can we take a quick break?
Yeah, there's more people who want to talk to us, too, on the phone lines about this. These are just awful, awful stories of plane crashes involving sports teams. This is reflective of what happened with the Brazilian soccer team earlier today. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Earlier today, actually last night, Brazilian soccer team crashed in Colombia en route to a match out there, and we were going over some of the other team crashes that have happened over the years. I didn't really think there was that many, but as it turns out, there have been quite a few, way more than I thought there would have been.
Yeah, it surprised me as well. And we were talking about the Payne Stewart case. Chris, you remember that?
I do. I remember watching on TV, and I remember the worst part was, I think if I remember right, they had lost cabin pressure. So essentially, everybody on board just kind of passed out and drifted off, which was, I guess if you want to call any pleasant part to it, that it was relatively painless.
Yeah.
But as it turned out, if I remember right, too, the media had gotten a hold of it first, so I think they had found out even before the family. So the family ended up having to find out from TV.
That's not good.
They had to sit and decide what to do about the plane, because that's what it was doing. It was something flying around, and they had to wait and see if it got near population and decide either to shoot it down or let it crash.
Yeah, we discussed this pretty much where the National Guard came in. Someone has texted us and said they actually tipped the plane a little bit, tipped the wing.
To make it crash.
Yeah, because you can't let it fly around with no one piloting it.
And remind me, Chris, I seem to remember, like, they knew immediately that it was Payne Stewart's plane, right? That was never in question. They knew that it was his plane from
it was a Learjet.
The beginning. Yeah.
Well, they knew right away. Yeah. They definitely knew that right away.
I do remember this now. That was October 25th, 1999.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
And we had a listener call about that NASCAR race. And, Greg, we left someone out who died.
Yeah, Bill and Wendy. Hey, real quick, I've got to tell you, you guys have to be the most entertaining people on the radio today.
Enjoy so nice of you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Not good to preface things like that with a subject like this, but I'll tell you, back in the early 90s, I want to say 1992, Alan Kulwicki, NASCAR driver, he was the reigning Winston Cup champion. At that point in time, it was the Winston Cup. A lot of fans around here. He was just from up over the border in West Allis, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He was in a plane crash approaching Bristol Raceway for the race that weekend, and he was killed along with a principal from Hooters Corporation that was a sponsor at the time. And the difference from the Hendrick incident was he actually owned the team as well. So it took a while for things to kind of get back in order. They missed a lot of races, eventually put somebody else in the car, and then the team was sold. But, yeah, that was really kind of a big deal back then.
And, Greg, that's what Bill brought up. If teams, you know, are prepared to continue, someone has texted in and said that most of these teams have a contingency plan in case something happens. But, I mean, think of the Bears.
Right.
They have, I know for a fact they don't have a contingency plan. Who would have a whole other team?
You wouldn't have 40-something guys ready to plug in if your football team went down.
Right, right. Well, again, using that as an example, Alan Kulwicki being the team owner and driver, you know, there's a lot more to be done than just getting a new driver in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Right? For example, when Dale Earnhardt was killed, again, I hate bringing all these things up for the race fans, but they were able to get a driver and put him in the car the following week. But in this case, you know, that was the team. You know, he was the owner of the thing and made all the decisions. What do you do?
Was he a young guy, Greg? I only remember hearing the name, but I don't know much about him. Was he a younger guy?
That's all relative. How old are you, Bill?
I'm old.
He acts like he's 12.
I believe early 40s, maybe late 30s.
Yeah, that's young. That is young. Yeah. Wow.
But again, great success story. The last owner driver to win the Winston Cup or the NASCAR championship.
And that was him. How about that? Well, wow. Thank you for all that, Greg. Appreciate it.
Hi, you're welcome.
Take care. Thanks for listening.
All right, we have to take a break. Yeah. Sorry to bring everybody down, but it's just, you know, when something like this happens, it makes you think in the past. And I really was shocked to hear there were so many teams that went down in plane crashes.
Hard to imagine. All right, a break and then more show. We'll get the news from Steve, and then we have more for you. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. All right, it's Bill, it's Wendy, and we've got Alex Stone, ABC News correspondent, calling in. And it's good because I would like to talk to him about a couple of things. I'm sure you would as well.
Not really. Nothing to say to that man.
It's just a very weird story, which I have to be honest with you. I didn't know much about until it went all over Facebook, where this woman, Sherry Papini, from a California mom, went missing after a jog, and she had been missing for 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden, she shows up on the side of a road bound by restraints, this according to police. And she was found, so that's good news, but there seems to be a lot of questions. Alex Stone joins us now. Hi, Alex.
Hey, Wendy and Bill. Yeah, you know, this story didn't get a lot of coverage nationally because it happened during the election. And then, of course, the focus was on what was going on. It was November 2nd when she disappeared, November 2nd, November 3rd, and we were in the throngs of everything going on right before Election Day. But in Northern California, it did get a lot of play, and there were a lot of searches going on for Sherry Papini. No indication of where she went to. There was a reward that was set up. She disappeared while she was out for a run. Her cell phone was found, her earbuds with her hair tangled in the cord of the earbuds, but nobody knew where she went. There was no information. And then on Thanksgiving Day, at about 4 o'clock in the morning, miraculously, she shows up waving down a driver on a road close to Interstate 5, about 150 miles away from where she went missing. She was found in Yolo County. She went missing from Shasta County. She was found kind of near Sacramento, and then she told this incredible story about what happened to her.
And here's the weird thing, because you think if someone's gone for 3 weeks and you're not hearing from them, obviously you assume the worst. Well, so she surfaces, and she talked about her captors, because this is where I'm confused. It all seems very bizarre to me.
Yeah, and it's all very vague. Well, all she has told, according to the sheriff in Shasta County, all she has told them is that she was released by two armed Hispanic women in a dark SUV, that's all they have to go on, a very vague description. And the sheriff, all he will say is that he believes her. There are a lot of folks on social media who don't believe her story, that she was held for 3 weeks. When she was found, that she was bound, that she had a bag in her hand that she claims was put over her face. When she was thrown out of a car, according to her husband. And many of these details haven't been known until today because the sheriff would only say that her captors let her go and that she got medical treatment, was immediately looked at and released. She wasn't held at a hospital afterwards. She had just minor injuries. But today, her husband, Keith, sent ABC News a statement giving a few new details, saying that she had been thrown from the vehicle, that she had a chain around her waist at the time, the bag was over her head, that she was badly beaten. He talks about all of the scars and the bruises and the scabs all over her body, that she had a broken nose. If you've seen pictures of her, she, in the pictures, had long blonde hair, kind of her signature hair that she's known for among her friends. That was chopped off, that she had been branded, according to her husband. These are all things the sheriff's department has not said, but her husband coming out against those who have questioned her story, saying, look, just because she hasn't come out publicly in the last couple of days since she was found, that doesn't mean her story is fake. He says that all of those who have been making up rumors and saying that these are lies, that he says the assumptions have been exhausting and disgusting, and he says the truth will come out.
Alex, there was never a time where ransom was discussed at all, correct?
Not that we know of. Not that publicly. And again, the Sheriff's Department in Shasta County has been pretty tight-lipped about this whole thing, but nothing that we have uncovered that shows there was ever any discussion of ransom.
It just doesn't make sense to me, because why would the captors just all of a sudden go, okay, it's Thanksgiving, let's let her go?
Mm-hmm. Well, and apparently have done nothing to her during this time, because she was not held in a hospital. She was checked out very briefly. Within a couple of hours, she was looked at and released to meet with her husband. And we understand that was very emotional. She was too emotional to talk to police. If it had been something serious that they had done to her, you would expect that she likely would have been examined longer. But her husband says that she is pretty beaten up, that she does have a lot of welts, a lot of bruises, that she had been branded. Nobody seems to know yet. Since Thanksgiving Day, when she popped up, the Sheriff's Department has been looking for two armed Hispanic women in a dark SUV. But how do you really look for somebody with that general of a description? They've been looking for surveillance videos. We know they've put out warrants to get surveillance videos from stores, from homes, from highway cameras, trying to get some better indication of who may have dropped her off and who may have had her. But we understand, too, that she's been very emotional. They haven't had a lot of luck getting real details out of her. But we expect last night and today that now that several days have passed, they are sitting down with her, we understand, from the sheriff, talking to her, trying to find out what did she hear from her captors. What were they talking about? Were they ever talking on the phone? Where did they take her? What did they do with her? Where was she held this whole time? All of that is not known.
Alex, normally when you have a story of this magnitude and they suppress details, is there a reason? Are they using those details to somehow figure out more about the captors before giving out information? What would be their reason for not giving out more details at this point?
Well, we don't know how much they actually know. Now, it seems that they could describe things based on what her husband has described, but they may claim HIPAA rules, the federal health rules, that she didn't give them the okay to talk about what had been done to her body. So that could be one indication. It doesn't appear they know a whole lot more at this point about what happened to her during her kidnapping that she says happened to her, and really what the chain of events were and was. But it does seem like that they have to know more than what they're saying. And in that first day, the sheriff, Tom Bosanko, came out and said there are some investigative details that they're keeping close to the vest for investigative reasons. Now, sometimes you do that so that only the person involved would know, that if you find a suspect, that it isn't all out there in the media, so other people don't come out and make claims about things. You know, think about, this is going back a couple of years, but the JonBenet Ramsey case and John Mark Carr, I think it was in 2007 when he came out, and he had all these details about the case. Well, they were all publicly available, but he made them seem very personal. That police will tell you, it happens all the time in local murder cases, that they keep details close so that only the killer would know. In this case, only the abductors would know. But they've left it so vague, giving out so few details, that people on social media have just gone wild with all kinds of speculation and rumor and discussion, and that's what now, according to Keith, is making the family angry in saying that the people are making things up.
And I get it. I mean, now in the world of social media, I mean, before Facebook, people would hear a story like this and they would talk over the water cooler and go, something's fishy with this story. But now with Facebook, everybody can post it, and I imagine it would be hurtful and terrible to see it. How do we know how young her two small kids are?
Yeah, they're 2 and 4 years old, and the friends of the Papini family have talked about how she was just the super mom, that it seemed like she could do nothing wrong, that she was always there for her kids, so into her kids, dedicated to them. She was reported missing in early November when she failed to show up to pick them up from daycare, and her friends and family say she would never leave her kids without a mother, never leave them stranded, not being picked up in a place that they don't have a guardian, that's where they knew something was wrong right off the bat. And then it unfolded from there, and they found the cell phone, and they found the hair twisted into the cord of the earbuds. We know the sheriff's department is looking at her online activity right now, things that she may have been doing, things that she may have been saying online. They are aware that she has a previous marriage. They're looking at that as well, trying to figure out, she's 34 years old, what is her background, that if somebody did abduct her like she says they did, that what could have led to that? What might the motive have been?
It's so funny you mentioned the model mother, because in the last couple of days I've read all those same reports and I keep saying to myself, but doesn't that describe almost every mother? What mother would just leave their kids at daycare for, you know, for hours and not pick them up? I always thought that they went overboard in telling us what a great mom she was. Not that you need to read into that, but I just You're assume right. every mom's that way.
Yeah, I mean, except her friends say that she was the one that would put on these, you know, huge birthday parties and would organize and was always there for other kids and always organizing events. That they say she did seem to go above and beyond, stay-at-home mom. She may have had a small outside business doing something, but mainly a stay-at-home mom that dedicated her time to her children, that they say that she seemed very focused. Oh. Now, does that give any indication of what happened or didn't happen? You know, hard to say.
Maybe she just burned herself out being super mom and, you know, pretended she was abducted to get away. Or maybe she's suffering.
Well, people have suggested exactly that.
Or postpartum depression.
That's what people suggested, yeah.
There's something more to this, which I hope we find out. Thank you very much, Alex. We appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Alex. Take care. Alex Stone of ABC News.
It's just weird.
What you just said is almost word for word what people have been inferring for the past couple of days is, that's what must have happened, is she just got fed up with her family and said, I need a break from all this. But I don't know. Who can make that value decision at this point?
No one, and I shouldn't. But you just wonder, when you put so much pressure on yourself and when you all of a sudden are known as the super mom, you've got a big image to uphold within the neighborhood.
Right.
And, you know, maybe she had a breakdown and went away just to get away from a while.
It's possible.
And is talking about an abduction. I just think it's, if you're gone for 3 weeks and you come back and we go, oh my God, what happened? It was terrible. And this happened. And that, I know, like, you know, your brain will help you, block it out if it was traumatic, but you still feel like you'd get more information. Something's weird, Bill.
It is. All right.
I should be a detective. Encyclopedia Brown has nothing on me.
I don't think so. We'll take a break, and then more of us, the Hardy Boys, on WGN. Thank you, PermaSeal people. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy closing out our Tuesday show. We will be back tomorrow with another show. We will call that show the Wednesday show. We would like you to listen.
I'm confused about something. Sherry Papini was found after being missing for 3 weeks, and first of all, why do they say went missing?
Yeah, the terminology is a little strange there.
But that's what every news person and
Sherry Papini went missing.
Yes, she went missing. How about she disappeared?
Well, she didn't disappear, because that would be like a magic
trick. Well, I don't mean like abracadabra.
But she was unfindable.
I now understand why they go with went missing.
I'm going to suggest that at the network meeting.
But so this is what I'm unclear on. So she went to the hospital and they examined her, and then her husband met her there and saw the bruises on her body. But then he came out later and said there was a chain around her waist and she was branded. Wouldn't the hospital have noticed that?
Yeah, but as Alex Stone just pointed out, maybe they know that, but that's not something that they can release in a statement.
Oh, he probably has the HIPAA. More freedom. That's the HIPAA. Okay.
Yeah. He's got more freedom as a family member to divulge more information maybe than the news source is available.
Yeah, but he should shut his yap, because maybe that adds to the apprehension of someone.
See, that's the part I don't know, is I don't know how they exactly figure out exactly what dose of information to release, you know? I guess you can't criticize him because it's his
wife.
Oh,
I'd be singing like a canary.
Would you?
I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
And this happened and that happened. Shut up. No, I want to get it out there.
Right, right.
But that's what's, you know.
But they haven't seemed to, like, usually if there's some sort of a crime like this in an area, they put everybody on an alert to watch out for a similar circumstance so that you yourself don't get abducted. And I don't know, I'm not there in California, but I haven't heard stories of that going on. Like, you'd think, would they be prone to do the same sort of thing again in the same area? They don't really seem to have much of a concern of this being a horrible problem in that area for some reason.
No, it seems like it was an isolated
incident.
Like
it happened the one time and then they're done.
And, I'm happy she has been returned. I hope all works out.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Again, Sherry Papini's husband, Pepe.
His name is not Pepe Papini.
It's Keith.
Keith.
I couldn't find it. Keith Papini said he was grateful to thousands of people who have reached out to his family during what he called this torturous journey, and I bet it was. And, you know, it's not right that people have rumors and assumptions, lies and hate, and they have been both exhausting and disgusting to him.
You know, because of the timing of the story falling at about the same exact time as the election, we weren't inundated. Usually you get Nancy Grace type shows that are spending a lot of time on this story, and they always go out of their way to tell you that in a case like this with a missing person, it's one of those everyday counts. Like if they don't find her by the first day or the second day, the odds of finding her intact, you know, your odds go down considerably over finding her healthy and alive. Luckily, in this particular case, she was found alive and relatively healthy.
Can't wait to hear the whole story because I don't think we know it all. 219 says, Wendy, this reminds me of that runaway bride story from a few years ago. Remember she was supposed to get married?
Yeah.
Something's up with this.
But then the other story, and I know this isn't fair to compare it to, but I always think of the balloon boy story where the nation was so afraid that there was this kid alone in a balloon that had gotten away, and then it turned out it was a hoax. Not that this is a hoax.
I don't believe anybody anymore.
But
I really don't.
Well,
because people want a reality show. People want attention.
Right.
I don't trust. I barely believe you every day.
I wouldn't believe me if I were you. No way. Ro and Anna are in makeup. They have a huge CLTV show that they do every day. And then they also do the radio show, but they're big CLTV stars. So they're in makeup. We'll find out what's coming up on their show in just a little bit. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.